Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're going to make here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water. Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a f- what kind of pants a son of a f- who shot you was wearing?
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. I have a feeling it's going to be a real good show today. I'm excited. We got this draft coming up on Saturday. I am pumped and jacked for this draft. We're all here. Fred, Andy, Eric. Eric, we're going to have to talk a little later on the show. All Paul right. And Doctor's in the house with Toyota Tacoma. Where is Toyota?
He's right there.
He's there? Okay. You don't let him push the buttons yet, Doctor?
Not yet.
No,
not
but
yet.
He lets him take the lunch orders, and he did a fine job today, except
no.
I said no tomato.
I was in the office about 8:15. I got an email. I need your lunch order. That's good stuff.
Well done.
It's already better than I got down here at 10 to 12. My lunch is sitting here waiting for me.
That it should be.
That is good work.
Already an improvement over two genders.
That's right. So he's earned his pay for today.
So who do we need to thank?
William Barry.
Oh, William
Barry, one of our favorites.
Paul's favorite emailer.
Paul's
all right.
Absolute favorite.
That's great.
He's out of my doghouse now.
That is awesome. All right. So
that'll last until he sends an email in.
We'll get to William Barry's email and everything else. Web radio.
Careful how you say that, Paul. We don't want that to be misconstrued.
Maybe I do.
No, maybe.
Paul, that's quite the shirt you got. Paul's got a black and white referee shirt with a polo guy on it.
It's in honor of the officials that I love so much.
That's great. It's a nice shirt. Not for TV, though.
Good thing we're not on TV. I'm on radio today.
I know.
I got a thing at 1.
At 1?
I got a thing.
You going on EI?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The big show.
Leaving us flat. I'll do a little plug for the show over the weekend, by the way.
I would hope so.
Shows.
I mean, I would assume the reason they have you on is because of the draft.
I just gave one on a main radio
station.
Gave
what on a main?
A plug for the PFW in Progress over the weekend.
Okay, good.
Only, unlike you, I actually gave the time correctly.
1-800-494-PATS?
No, I'm talking about PFW in Progress. I'm trying to get people to listen to us.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email
address.
Was
that hard to follow, Andy?
Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And like I said, this is exciting. You know, all these picks, 4 picks in the first 2 rounds, 6 in the first 3. It's going to be a very, very interesting Saturday.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll be glad when the talk is over and they're finally making picks. It seems like it's been longer than usual. It has been a longer than usual offseason for us, but too much talking. Enough. We got to make picks. We got to make trades. We got to get going.
Especially this year, because no one agrees on anything. So it's like if the teams can't agree on who's the best, How the hell am I supposed to believe that Mel Kiper knows who's the best?
I think it's interesting. I read today that the Detroit Lions not only might have a deal in place for Stafford, they might have one in place for Aaron Curry, and they said some others, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Jason Smith.
Yeah, even the top pick may not be decided upon yet.
Curry is on record saying he would take Jake Long's contract.
I think that's smart.
Oh, yeah.
I do, too. I mean, who cares what the difference is?
Because if he doesn't get picked first, he probably won't get picked second. You know, and so.
So does it sound like the Lions are trying to take the lowest bidder? Kind of?
No.
I think they're going to take Stafford, and they're just hoping to kind of drive that price down a little bit. But now there's. I saw a report on Pro Football Talk. The agent Condon is going to other teams with their final offer to see if they would be willing to beat that. And it's just a lot. And then the NFL, whether they're going to. I like how there's vague rules as to whether the second team is allowed to negotiate after the first signs a contract. There's no like set rule. Greg Aiello says, we'll let you know, basically. Last year they said they couldn't. I think it was the Rams last year, too, right? Rams 2 years in a row with a second pick. And they couldn't. They were, no, it's not going to happen. This year they said they might let him.
Well, because it doesn't make sense. If the guy's already been signed at number one, that pick is done.
But they don't want to devalue the draft and have like, welcome to the NFL draft. Pick eight is where we'll start today because the first seven
is
signed.
Is there a rule?
Like last year. Right. Last year the first four at minimum, I think, were signed.
Well, let's say you have number two. Even though maybe, you know, Detroit hasn't declared and doesn't have a deal in place for the number one, what's to stop you from getting an idea from the agents? Hey, we might pick you at number two. Would you be happy with this deal? Because this is what we're going to give you. If the answer's no, then we might have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you some of that goes on.
It has to.
You know. So, all right. So this is good. So what time are you guys showing up Saturday?
What time do you want to say?
3:55.
3:55.
I was thinking around 3-ish.
Yeah.
3.
Press box doesn't open until 3:30.
I'm going to be here at 1.
Okay.
You'll
be here around 3.
You'll still be watching video.
I have a lacrosse game at 10.
To be fair, he has video to watch. Right. We don't.
I have a lacrosse game at 10. I'm going to come after that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going by. PR says the press box opens at 3:30.
I'll be there at 3:30.
Fred's
going to say for the regulars.
Yeah, but you don't know what's going to happen before the draft. Sometimes things happen before. I want to be there.
We'll be monitoring from home.
So
The earlier I get here, the earlier I run out of gas later in the day.
That's true.
We're on the air.
So we start our show at 6:00.
Yes.
The draft starts at 4. So we should, you know, when we go on air, there'll be a lot of stuff that have already happened. It'll be a very, very busy, fast-paced show. I'm sure we have a ton of emails. We'll try to get to as many as possible, but we're going to be following along with the NFL Network and ESPN as things happen, commenting on it.
We'll also be blogging. PFW blog.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good day. I can't wait.
Bill talked in the other day at his press conference about having so many picks and being able to trade up maybe as high as the 10th spot.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the odds are of that happening?
Zero. To the 10th spot that high, zero. To like 18, maybe.
18 I could see. 18, but 19.
It was funny because I talked to Paul about this. It seemed like Bill sort of backed up the trade value chart we have, saying over history it pretty much works out the way that goes. But he then said 10 is the number he said we could probably get up to, but just if they wanted to trade number 23 and the 3 second-round picks, they could get up to like, what did I say, 3 or 2?
Yeah.
I was wondering what exactly he meant with that, and I unfortunately.
Now, if I was a team that was offered that and I had number 3, I think I'd do it.
Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat. That's why I don't think Bill would in this draft where no one knows who's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also, in a normal draft where there's, say there were 5 blue chip studs, I would probably do it from the Patriots' perspective. Because I'd be guaranteeing myself an elite player in my
mind. I mean, if Peyton Manning was one of these guys being drafted, I would tell the top 3 teams, you know, I'll tell number 1, I'll give you everything I got in the first 2 rounds for him. Mm-hmm. And number 2, if number 1 doesn't do it for me and he's still on the board, I'll give it to you too.
Right. Or if like in, what was it, 07 was the year when Merriweather was drafted, right? And the consensus was it wasn't a very good draft depth-wise, and so, you know, the Patriots really, after Merriweather, they really didn't invest a lot of time, and they traded the picks for Moss and Welker, and so if it were a draft like that where there was very little depth but a few blue chippers, it might be more likely that they trade up, you think, like you were saying.
Right.
Because there's a couple of guys that you know are good.
Right.
And
right.
you don't want to waste 11 picks on guys who are probably not going to make your team.
Whereas this year.
Whereas this year, there's a lot of depth, and you might want to.
In the middle of those picks is where you want
to
be.
For that much. For that many picks, it has to be like a quarterback type guy, or, you know, I know that Ditka did it for
Ricky Williams
years ago. I don't know if I'd do it for a running back.
Yeah,
it would have to be a quarterback.
I wouldn't do it for a running back, but there's more than just quarterbacks.
An elite pass rusher, or I
think I'd do it for a
high end top corner. Even I would do it.
Maybe he'd have to be really.
I just think running back
Deion
is really.
Sanders.
Yeah,
running back is really being devalued. I think
it is. But if you'd say, would I do it to get Adrian Peterson? Yeah, I would. If I could put him in my backfield, I would.
Okay.
I'm just laughing because all three of you have your mouth full.
I wouldn't.
God forbid you talk.
It was kind of funny.
I wouldn't. I think Adrian Peterson is absolutely worthy individually of those players. You know, anybody you're going to draft at 23 in the 3 second rounders, I think Adrian Peterson is proving to be worth it. I just don't think that position wins you that much anymore. And I think you need.
I might not do it if I were the Patriots because my offense is the focal point is obviously going to be Tom Brady in the passing game. But I'm just.
I know what you
in
mean.
General.
You're like talking about in general terms what you would do.
If I'm a team trying to get good, I would do it because I think Adrian Peterson can carry an offense. I mean, he's kind of single-handedly carried the Vikings offense.
Yeah.
And they've been considered a Super Bowl contender
for the last
a couple
2 years.
Of years because of a very good defense as well. But I think I would do it for Adrian Peterson. Now, obviously, there's no guarantee. You could get Ricky Williams or some psychotic or...
But I think
would do it. Running back, I would do it. Quarterback, I would do it. Pass rusher, certainly. Certainly in a ridiculous cornerback, I would do
it. Well, because I was thinking.
A secondary guy in particular. You know, just some, whether it's a safety or
like
a corner.
Malcolm
guy,
Jenkins.
Well,
kinda,
well a lot
who
could
play? Well, no, not I'm saying, but a guy who can play safety, you know, like, maybe, or corner.
Ed Reed, I mean, a guy who I think changes games, whether he plays safety or corner, would be worth it for me. I don't know. I'm kind of falling in line with the general consensus, and that's rare for me.
Yeah.
But now that I'm the moral majority, I guess I'm falling in line. A lot of people in the NFL now think that running back is really lessened in importance, and most teams don't even have one anymore. They have a couple that they figure as long as they get a similar amount of production, it's the same thing. So
that's the thing.
I agree with it.
The use of running backs has not been devalued, but the individual running back has been devalued.
Committees.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Dual backfields.
I think teams are running the ball, but they don't care if it's one guy running it or three
or,
guys running
or
it.
Or throwing to a guy out of the backfield or using it for passing.
I think another, that, you know, it's such a passing really league that you know, the passing is opened up. They feel that you don't need a top-flight runner to be able to run the ball because teams are really geared up for the pass.
But another reason I would think I would take a running back is because – it's one of the least developmental positions. If I think a running back's great,
they can come in.
There's a good chance he's going to give me 1,400 yards as a rookie.
Well, that part
and I'm going to be paying a guy. Yeah. Whereas
that part, I agree
if I'm trading up and paying, not a receiver is an extreme example, but a lot of positions take a year or two to develop, and you're paying a guy elite money, the quarterback, whatever. You're paying a guy elite money for not elite performance. Whereas running back, if anything, that's the one position where you want to pay him his rookie deal because the second deal. How many times are we going to see teams get burned, Sean Alexander or LaDainian Tomlinson now, with guys that, after their first rookie contract, sign that massive second deal, and a year into it, look like they're done?
It's a tough position. It's a lot of wear and tear.
It's the one, maybe the one position where you really want to pay the guy early. You want to pay him those first 6 years, because after that, he's done.
Yeah. Let's see. Webradio at patriots.com on the phone right now. We haven't heard from him in a while. Mike and Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Just seems like every Tuesday or Thursday, I sort of forget to call in.
Wow.
So,
okay.
We won't be putting that on our recommendations page.
Well, you know what? We forgot about you, too. Huh?
Yeah, forget you, man.
No, I remembered to listen, and I just forgot to call in. I wanted to talk about two things. First was Kraft's comments that season ticket renewal is still somewhere hovering around 90%, which I thought was kind of surprising, considering all the people I know who unfortunately can't renew their season tickets. His comments this morning on CNBC was interesting.
That in he actually said mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s, yeah, which I think is good, but we'll see how that pans out. I don't want to see a Yankee Stadium at Gillette. That would be bad.
Well, I don't think you're going to have any risk of the stadium not being full on game days, Mike. I mean, even if there are fewer season ticket holders, tickets will be bought.
Right.
There'll be fans that want to fill those seats.
I think with as popular as they are right now, even if you weren't at season ticket capacity, there's a ton of fans, thousands, that would buy at least single game or a couple game tickets to fill in the stadium.
And Mike, I saw what you saw. Robert Kraft was a co-host of Squawk Box on CNBC this morning.
He likes that show.
And they like him. And one of the things he was talking about, and Roger Goodell was on as well, is that in times like these, when things get tough, there's what they call a flight to quality, and that people are more discerning with their dollars. If I'm going to spend my dollars on entertainment, what is it that gives me the most value for my dollar? And with the NFL, there's only 10 games a year at home. It's just 10 games. So, you know, there is that demand, where in baseball, you know, you get your 81 games, and, you know, you're not going to sell out every game.
In theory, it's 8 games since no one thinks preseason is quality football.
I agree with that.
But with a team like New England, you have the added benefit of potentially one or two playoff games. So you end up with those extra 10
or
12.
But those aren't involved in your season ticket purchase.
Right, but I'm just saying that you have the an extra source of revenue that a lot of other teams wouldn't have from those extra game or two.
Secondly, I got to say I love the cover of PFW and this month. I thought that was great.
Oh, good.
That's Maura Wilson in our graphics department who designed it and came up with the idea.
Yeah. Football and beer definitely go together.
that's what we thought when she came up with the idea. We're like,
football,
yep,
beer, and Belichick.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you guys on the sort of weirdness of this draft where there's quality players out there, but there seems to be no consensus as to who's the best. And I think either Belichick may trade up a little bit in the first round, or he may try and trade for a first-round pick next year.
Possibility.
Which, you know, I think he's sort of, especially with the long-term planning that he likes to do and with all the possible free agents we have next year,
he may have to do more
building in the draft.
He could trade for a one next year and keep the mid-round, the 3 seconds, and load up there on low-price players who could end up contributing this year and for a long time. I think that would make a lot of sense if some team was willing to give him a one next year for the one this year.
Yeah, especially with, you know, some unproven talent in the second and third round that we have last year that may be able to prove themselves this year.
Yeah, there's definitely a group there with Will Hite and Crable and Wheatley. Yeah. It's almost like two draft classes coming in at once.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, see you, Mike. All Mike right, and Sharon. Mike's
try not to
fan.
Forget.
Yeah, don't be a stranger.
I don't think Mike misses a training camp practice.
No,
he's at every training camp practice in the summer.
God bless him.
Now, Andy, I guess you sent an email to Web Radio.
No,
should I read it? Do you want me to read this? Okay. It's the title is Maserati is a clown. I love how you spell Maserati.
That's the funny
I butchered
part.
It on purpose.
I guess you can take the guy out of the Herald, but not the Herald out of the guy. What a bum! Explain, please.
This has to do with the comment he wrote yesterday about the question I asked in Bill Belichick's press conference earlier this week. When I asked Bill, Tony had gone down a line of questioning about, you know, can't miss prospects and things, and I followed up with asking Bill if there was a prospect he remembered. Not necessarily a guy he drafted, but just a can't-miss guy.
And you made that clear.
I made that very clear. Now, I give Bill the benefit. Bill then answered, it's obvious.
We all know the mistakes.
We all know the list. You know it as long as I. He got a little defensive, I think. And I have no problem with him getting defensive because he's on the spot there. You know, keywords.
He hears what he wants to hear because he's going through a filter. Yeah.
But Tony then used that in his column and wrote, after the question, duh, Chad Jackson. Well, no. First of all, Chad Jackson was not a can't-miss prospect.
And that's not what you meant at all.
Generally, can't-miss prospects go in the first round, Tony. So a team taking him with his second pick available isn't a can't-miss prospect. We all thought he was going to be a good player and great value in the second round when the Patriots got him. But he certainly was not a can't-miss prospect. Can't miss prospects are guys that go in like the top five and then bust out unbelievably.
Right.
Tony Mandarich. Robert Gallagher.
That's the exact name I was thinking was Tony Mandarich.
Any of those guys.
It was an opportunity for him to say, you know, I remember 20 years ago we looked at Tony Mander, whatever it was,
right.
And we all thought, God, this guy's
and that's what I really
you know,
wanted.
That's
I wanted
what you
Bill.
Wanted.
I said to Paul, I thought
for sure cover the perfect right. tackle,
something
like that.
I thought for sure it would be somebody from the 80s, early 90s. Right. Certainly no one's still in the league or in any way tied to the NFL at this point. But and again, I give Bill the benefit of the doubt because he, you know, is on the spot there and kind of hears what he wants to hear, answers what he wants to answer.
Right.
But Tony had the ability to not only listen to the question and the answer live, but then see the transcript formulated and still took a cheap shot at me.
Isn't that frustrating?
Now I know how the players feel when they're taken out of context and misquoted by the clowns in the media named
and
Maserati.
You're right. It's very frustrating because here is somebody whose craft is journalism, is getting facts, you know, delivered to their audience in an accurate way. And like you said, had every opportunity to get it right.
Killing my boy.
They were there. They listened to it. They had a transcript.
They probably had a tape recorder rolling, could have gone back and listened again.
And
could have gone to Patriots.com
and
listened to it.
Still misinterpreted it and got it wrong.
But not even misinterpreted it, because to me it wasn't really up for interpretation.
Right.
He just either didn't listen or has terrible listening skills.
Right.
It says a lot about his university.
It is very, very frustrating. Yeah, and like
I agree
you said,
with that as well.
You can understand why players get so upset.
I feel like a player now. Yeah. I really do. Misquoted, taken out of context, screwed over, and the masses just giggling.
And I do think, Fred, you know, you talked about Tony Mandarich. It's not. It's to me those can't miss guys. It's easy to say, oh well, Heath Shuler or Achilles Smith, but quarterbacks always get taken higher than even probably the teams that take them think that they should because they have to have the quarterback. They think they're going to be good players or whatever, but it's much more glaring a guy like Robert Gallery, who even Bill made a comment that year at the Combine to you, Andy, that, you know, obviously, you know, Robert Gallery is, you know, one of those players, you know, talking. And he, matter of fact, he made a comment about Reggie Bush in a similar fashion. Those guys, to me, are consensus can't-miss guys.
Right.
In Gallery's case, missed.
Right.
Mandarich missed. Reggie Bush, kind of close to missing.
Right.
I wouldn't say he's a bust.
Jury's still out.
I wouldn't say he's a bust. But you know what also was funny about that as a complete tangent? Do you notice Mario Williams now is being given credit for a lot more than he's actually done?
Right.
It's actually
right.
come full circle. He's
getting credit for not being a bust.
Right. For not being the wrong pick.
He's an average.
Not being the right pick,
player.
But not being the wrong pick.
He was the number one overall pick in the draft.
That's right.
And because Reggie Bush hasn't rushed for, you know, 2,000 yards in a season, everybody's saying,
well, he was the right pick.
The Texans had it right.
No.
Well, they're kind of both the same, actually.
Yeah.
They're good, not great.
They're good players. They're both good players.
Yeah. The only lesson out of that is the Texans didn't totally screw up by taking
a really
right.
I wanted to run something by you guys. I talked about this with Andy yesterday, and
we're losing our focus here, though. The focus we need to rant more about Tony Maserati being
like
a clown.
We had enough bashing.
I think it's fair for you to feel frustrated because I heard the question.
You just
when
can't
you
believe
asked
what you read.
I knew exactly
anymore.
What you meant.
With these hacks in this town.
I knew that Bill kind of took it a little bit defensively,
right?
You know, and
I was fine
and I
with
understand
that.
That.
Move on.
But then you have
if
a
Bill
writer.
Understood it.
Then
he's on the spot. He's up in the spotlight, and you know what he hears.
Why don't you rip him?
No.
Well, you can only rip the Italian.
He's
guy?
Good at his craft, unlike Maserati.
But I knew what you intended with that, and it wasn't to
There's no question that was misinterpreted.
Right.
Wonder that paper's going out.
You were looking for an anecdote.
I was looking for some guy
in 1987.
We all thought this guy was going to be Andre Bruce.
He could have tied it in here and gone Ken Sims.
Right.
You know, I thought for sure when this team here drafted Ken Sims, they had a stud, and it didn't work out.
Right. That's what you were looking for.
Just a side story. Andre Tippett walked up behind me today and said, oh, what's the best draft in team history? Is it 76 or that 82 one? And I go, based on this situation right now, 82 was a great draft.
Yes, I am.
And then he went down it, and he was looking at the draft, and I go, kind of hurts you that the top pick was a total bust. And he goes, yeah, they should have moved this guy. And he points to him up into the first slot. But then he's going down it, and he's giving me like a little scouting report on each one. This guy, great build, but no heart, didn't want to work out, and this and that. And then he gets to a guy and goes, no idea who that guy is.
Who was it?
Like the 11th pick.
Oh, okay.
It was a quarterback out of Northern Iowa. Steve something? And he goes, I don't remember him.
Wow.
That's pretty sad.
I'm going to look it up.
When he doesn't remember
a player. That was, what, 82,
right? Yeah.
Let me ask you, Fred, and me and Andy talked about this on the draft podcast yesterday. Mike and Mike in the Morning had an interesting thing this week talking about, Steve Sandin, Northern Iowa quarterback.
Andre Tippett's never heard of him.
Neither was Paul Perillo.
Yeah, but you weren't drafted with him. Didn't spend, you know, a good couple months sweating with him on the field in the locker room.
It's a good point.
How bad he must have been.
Mike Greenberg was making a contention that in order for a number one overall pick to be a true home run, like you nailed the number one overall pick, has to be a Hall of Fame player.
I'd say multiple Pro Bowler, but not necessarily Hall of Fame player.
Now, his reasoning for that is every single draft has produced at least one Hall of Famer.
Is that right?
There are three exceptions all time.
Is that right?
Going back to whenever.
Now, that's interesting.
When did the draft start? Well, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
When did the draft start, in like the 40s or the 50s?
Yeah, the Jay Berwanger thing. Yeah,
something like that. So going all the way back to then.
Wanger.
Only three times there wasn't at least one Hall of Famer. And in modern times, like since 1970, only once. 1986.
Wow.
No Hall of Famers, and that was Bo Jackson's year.
Oh,
and obviously, wow. Take out the injury, he would have been a Hall of Famer.
What's the cutoff date, though? What does that go up to?
Well, yes, yeah. Obviously, you know,
5 years ago,
the people that are still playing from drafts, maybe. That right. You know, whatever. There's got to be a certain amount of
right.
lead time.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Peyton Manning will go to the Hall of Fame someday
right.
from
yeah.
that draft,
right.
and whatnot. But I don't know exactly what the last one that has definitively produced a Hall of Famer was.
Right. But that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's – I agree with you. I don't even necessarily think – Brian Billick was on this morning, and they brought it up to him because they really went at it. Mike and Mike went at it pretty good. Golic just said that was silly. And I kind of agree with Golic. I think it's silly to say you have to have a Hall of Fame player. What you're looking for, you want to make sure with any first-round pick, you're getting a quality
– a foundation player.
For your team that's going to be a starting, contributing player. Now, I would say – I would tend to agree with you, Fred. I think he needs to be a Pro Bowl caliber player at number one overall.
He needs to be in the conversation for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He
need
needs to be
a
guy where if you bring him up and the words Hall of Fame, it's not an automatic. No. You need to at least have to pause for a second and say.
Yeah,
Greenberg,
he's a good player.
Greenberg went
yeah.
on. He ended up having more stipulations and qualifiers after that and disclaimers that it kind of got silly.
But I mean, Willie McGinnis is a guy I always call a bust and. He had a good long career, but certainly not a Hall of Famer.
Let's just take Jake Long, for example, okay?
Yep.
Jake Long finishes his career with the Dolphins, makes a few Pro Bowls, but is just a mainstay for his entire career.
And he's a good pick.
Right. And he's a good pick.
Right. Right, and he's not going to go in the Hall of Fame.
He may not.
But he might go in, like, if there's a Dolphins Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well, he goes in the team Hall of Fame.
Greenberg relented after a while because Golic started rattling off a bunch of guys that were pretty good players, but not Hall of Fame players. And, you know, he said that it's not bust or Hall of Fame. They're in between. And he started rattling off a bunch of, number one overall picks. You know, and he mentioned Bledsoe. He goes, Bledsoe was a good number one overall pick. He's not a Hall of Fame player, but he was
sure.
a good pick.
Yes.
You know.
And he was the right pick.
And
right.
That's not,
oh, yeah.
And that's not a bust. You know, and it's not if you don't go to the Hall of Fame, you're a bust.
Rick Myra would have been.
By the time he ended up finishing it, he kind of agreed
spectrum.
More with Golic than
right.
he thought.
Right.
And Billick today. Actually, when Brian Billick was on today, which he had a great line. He talked about when you're picking number one overall.
Sense.
Well, he threw a couple of those words
he
out there,
He loves
too,
throwing man. Big words yeah. out there.
He's the smartest guy he knows. He's smarter
like Eric.
Than you.
We're going to get to you, Eric.
But
don't worry.
He talked about, they were talking about the value of, like your thesis, Fred, that you're working on. That's been the ongoing work of the PhD over there.
Right.
The value of those top picks and whether or not it's worth it. Brian Billick, because it's one of those, it's really one of those good news, bad news things. You know, it's hard with the money, but, when you're drafting that high and you're in the position where you have to draft a quarterback in the top five, it's a good news, bad news thing. It's like your mother-in-law drove off the cliff, but she was driving your Mercedes.
That's okay.
What does his wife think about that comment?
That's what I was thinking.
What's his mother-in-law think about
right.
that? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Actually, it's John in Palm Bay.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, that wasn't my fault, Doctor.
That was my fault. Okay. I said sorry. I just didn't say it over there.
Hey, John, how are you?
Usually I get it wrong.
What about accountability?
Usually I get it wrong.
I'm doing good.
Not this time.
Good.
Okay.
We like you better than John in L.A. anyway.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
Two-Gender was talking to me when he called.
All right, John,
hey,
how you doing?
I got a quick thing. I actually was reading some draft rumors. Right now they have the Patriots possibly trading their second first-round pick away. For number one this year, plus teams number one, number two in the second round. Is that good value?
You said second first round pick. They don't have it.
You mean the first second round pick?
The second round pick, the first one they have.
Okay.
The first second round pick, 34.
Actually, was trade was to Dallas Cowboys
for a first round pick next year?
Yeah, and plus the Dallas Cowboys number two.
This year?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Hell yes.
Great
I'd
value.
Love to do it.
That's great value.
Love
yeah.
to do it.
I love it. I don't think that. I don't think that Dallas would do that.
Well, who knows? Dallas has done a lot of things. You don't think they're going to do
a first and a second for a second?
No, for a
first. Yeah. Next year's first
Next
round
year's first. First.
Right
for a first for a second.
I like
round
it.
Pick.
Let's make the move.
Okay. I just wanted to know if that was good value.
That is.
I was reading
that's great value.
Yeah. I always get confused.
Good value, John.
I have to look it up. Hold on.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'll be listening to you guys Sunday.
All right.
Okay.
Saturday.
Saturday,
Saturday
too.
Saturday, yeah.
Thanks, John. How's the weather in Palm Bay?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Is it?
Just got off work.
Okay, good for you. No, it's not bad here today.
You only work.
We've had a lot of rain all week, though.
It's going to be great this weekend when we're going to be stuck inside.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you guys. I think it's Sunday night that we're playing in Miami. I don't know if I'll go to that game or not, but if I can, I'll see if I can get a day off work.
Okay.
All right, we look forward to it.
All right.
See you, John.
Okay.
Saturday, 6 to 9, Sunday, noon to 3.
John from Palm Bay, not to be confused with John from L.A.
Right.
Now the Jaguars have new uniforms too?
Yeah, the Jags and the Lions got new uniforms, right?
I saw the Lions.
I wasn't that impressed with the Lions' new logo.
I haven't seen the Lions.
It's hardly any different than the old logo.
It's kind of like when the Falcons changed theirs and like the bird got a little the angle was different and the eye was meaner.
The Cardinals changed theirs.
But did Aaron Curry talk that up or what? Did you hear him talking about the Lions' new uniform and how he could see himself with that logo and he really likes it?
He clearly wants to go to the Lions. I'll take what Jake Long took last year. Just sign me.
Or he just wants to be
the number one
pick.
Sure.
Now, in 03, when the Patriots made that deal with Baltimore, the Kyle Bowler deal, when the Ravens ended up taking Bowler, they had – the Patriots traded their first-round pick, number 19 overall, for Baltimore's second-round pick, which was 41, and a first-rounder in
04. The following year. Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different with the first-round pick being traded. Mm-hmm. I think that's worth, obviously, more than even though it's a high second-round pick, I think that's worth a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite apples to apples.
Right. But you could get into what this draft is worth. If this draft, if the meat of this draft is really right there at the 30s, the low 30s, Dallas wants somebody, you take advantage. I think that would be a great trade.
Yeah.
I would be very – because now, that's a good deal.
Anytime you get more than one first-round pick, you're in a great position.
Yeah. I like having two first-round
picks. Bill talked about making picks-for-picks trades
have
never really happened.
Well, not
before the draft.
Before not
he did
frequently.
The Miami one.
Yeah, he did one in 03.
Oh.
On March 6th, they traded a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick to Washington.
Oh, yeah, he did that one, too.
For a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pick-for-pick trade that was done well ahead of the draft.
They needed it.
But was he talking about pick-for-pick trade?
They needed that trade. That
for a tender?
The Tabucky Jones thing. You're right.
Yeah, they needed it for something.
It was because they didn't have a tender pick to give back in return to for somebody.
Something. They needed the pick specifically for,
You're right. That's a good memory by you.
That's
exactly
what I'm known for, my good memory.
Pre-colonoscopy.
That's
good memories.
Damn.
Memory.
Fred, you'll notice I got the Pro Football Weekly 2009 draft preview guide today.
Oh, nice.
So we are ready to go for our little pros and cons and everything on draft weekend.
We're ready to go 3 days before the draft.
Yep, we're ready.
Fred just started watching film. But I wanted to note that they give numerical grades, much like teams do, and they have atop the draft Stafford and Jason Smith at 6.6, which might not seem like anything overly interesting, but if you go to what 6.6 entails. The scale for the grades are a 9 is a once-in-a-lifetime player.
Wow.
Examples are Elway, Jim Brown, Lawrence Taylor. 8 to 8.99 is a perennial all-pro. 7.5 to 7.9 is a future all-pro. 7 to 7.5 should become a Pro Bowl caliber player. Now, keep in mind, we have not yet gotten to where Stafford and Smith rank. Mm-hmm. 6.5 to 6.99 sure first rounder who has a chance to be a Pro Bowl player.
Wow.
So they're saying the height of this draft is a guy who
has a chance
could
to
be a Pro Bowler. That right there tells you all you need to know about there's no talent at the top of the draft.
Do you have
no
last group? Year's? Because I'm wondering.
Well, that's what you need to look at is where are the top guys
I have last year's.
Right, because if they're looking at Elway is you know, the bar.
Did they have a guy last year? Was Matt Ryan a 6?
I doubt it.
Or an 8?
I doubt he's with Elway.
No, you know? But was
no,
he a
but
6?
I bet you he was a 7.
6 like Stafford, or was he
I bet you he was at least a 7.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that there's always ones that are considered Pro Bowl players. And to not have one of those tells you all you need to know, if you believe Nolan Naraki.
And that one, and let's face it, that guide is generally considered one of the better ones. No one's perfect. And it's not
sort of built on the reputation of a dead
Joel
man.
Joel Pushbaum, and he's not obviously doing it anymore. And clearly it's not going to be as good, but it is considered one of the better ones out there.
Hey, you guys heard about Percy Harvin's story, right? Came out this week about the
marijuana
test at the combine. And that story cited him and one other player, I think.
The wide receiver.
Brandon Tate?
Oh, no, Tate.
Brandon Tate, right? Yes. From North Carolina?
Yes, Tate it was. It was the North Carolina guy, but not the one I like.
Right.
I thought it was him. It wasn't Nick's.
No, it was Brandon Tate.
What about it, Eric?
Anyway, we heard about a month ago, remember, that there was like a list of about 25 players?
Right.
We haven't heard anything about that since then. And
The Bible totally retracted and apologized and backed, and CNNSI just kind of pulled the report and said it was
wrong.
I thought
that was horrible, what SI did.
Yeah.
That was a very half-hearted apology.
I mean, this isn't just a rumor. This is a rumor that can change a person's life,
right.
Literally, you know?
But what can be done about it? I mean, isn't the...
you can sue.
Well, yeah, but you have to prove intent. You have to say they weren't. Not only were they wrong, but they knew they were wrong, and they wanted to ruin.
That's malice.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think you can prove that.
But maybe they were
unless there's some kind of severe negligence. You know, like they were just negligent in their job.
But also, but I would also think the fact that there were two places reporting it would help the defense.
Yeah,
because there was clearly sources.
And I wonder how much truth there was to just the story in general. Not maybe 25 guys, but. Now we're hearing about Harvin and Tate and
well, no, those are the only two, right?
Those were the only two in the story.
Well,
that
the
came
ones
out
that
this
were
week,
exonerated were Raji and the two USC guys and Vontae Davis. Cushing, Matthews, Davis, and Raji were all exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
I was under the impression that only two people were included on the list of failed drug tests.
Mm-hmm. These two that came out this week.
Yeah, that's what I felt.
All right,
what did you think of Bill's? Explanation of that question, speaking of your
I thought that was a fair response.
I did, too.
I thought that was a very good answer.
I did, too.
I would have liked more, because generally when I try to contact the league, they don't call me back. But
generally?
I thought...
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like almost
not
always?
Not always?
No, sometimes they do.
Okay.
Every once in a while, you get a weird random response.
Oh, back in the day when Steve Alec was running the
Steve
show.
Steve Alec, yeah,
back
but the new guy's useless.
The new guy stinks.
Terrible.
Corey Rush, terrible.
Yeah. Never in a rush to help anyone.
I think Corey Rush is one of those guys that looks down upon the team publications.
He's actually a nice guy.
Yeah, well, be that as it may.
I cracked him up with something at the combine. Remember that?
No. Did you fire this something?
Year?
Was good potty humor?
No, it was a little joke about Bill. I think he made a comment about something, and, you know, we're still waiting to hear back on whether Belichick's going to speak. And I said, I wouldn't hold your breath on that one. You'll die. And he cracked up. You know, he's one of those PR guys that usually doesn't smile, so I was happy that I got him to smirk.
Yeah, I'm still not happy.
And then all of a sudden, Bill does a press conference.
We have to thank William Berry today for today's lunch.
Bill Berry.
Love him.
Paul's favorite email.
He is today.
nice enough to send us our sustenance for today, and it's much appreciated from the Pizzeria Grandi. So
another name he refuses to pronounce correctly.
I thought he was going to talk about our victuales.
Don't worry, I'm going to get to you, Scalamino. Don't worry about it.
Wow, he's coming after
you. Yeah, I can tell.
But William, we'll get to his email right now. He says, seriously, Eric, did you learn nothing from Spygate? Sorry, Fred, I mean Cameragate, or ESPN making crap up about the Patriots gate, like a reporter for ESPN insisting the tapes get used at halftime. Yes, Fred, with the opposing cheerleaders and tapes syncing up is a lot harder than digital stuff we know. Where was I? Oh, making stuff up about Eric and the naked lady. Pause for either to Eric to either fume indignantly or insist she was not totally naked. My mistake. Oh, boy, this is quite involved here. My mistake. I will now tell you what my unnamed inside sources at Scalavino.com tell me.
Pronounced it correctly that time.
Eric was involved in fetish photography involving an almost naked woman and midgets. Long story short, he was bitten by a furry woodland creature in an embarrassing place.
Wow.
He'd rather not talk about it because it aroused him. Now onto a topic whose moratorium expired. Yes, Eric, moratorium means to legally delay, not cease forever. Did Egypt Girl know
Never
you can only get it up if a chipmunk bites your ass? Come on, Eric, the people want to know. No, Eric, my source was not Deep Big Head. Pause while everyone explains to Eric that Deep Throat was more than just a porno.
To Andy.
Over Fred. Under, changes in next Friday's roster report, minus -9.
He meant explain to Andy, not to me.
He said, while everyone explains to Andy.
Andy, yeah, you said Eric.
Oh, sorry. Over under, changes in next Friday's roster report, 9. So the Patriots will draft 9 guys, do you think?
Under.
I think 9 sounds about right.
I'll go over then.
I'll say push. That's about right, yeah.
See, so. We covered our bases. We got an over, an under, and 2 pushes.
But in case anyone was confused by Mr. Berry's email, Eric is involved in a little bit of a controversy.
Scandal.
A
scandal.
Yeah, you're a scoundrel.
I'm a scoundrel?
And
Daisy May is not happy.
But yeah, you know, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. We're going to talk this nude photography thing that you're involved.
Just not involved in it. Not
Project Red Sox?
No, that's not me.
What?
No.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No.
Anyway, on the phone right now.
I'm genuinely
who's on the phone
intrigued.
Right now? Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing great.
Oh, I got the little Sopranos theme.
He switched
music,
it up on
huh?
us a little bit.
Yeah. Well done. I like that one.
There we go. Yeah, I was getting a little sick of The Godfather. But how you guys doing?
Good, Anthony.
Good. All right. Ready for the Good. Draft.
I know, that's why I'm calling. This is, you know, it's an exciting time. I can barely wait. You know, it's going to be a cool weekend. We got the Red Sox, Yankees, and then we got some draft coverage. It's going to be fantastic.
No
question.
As a sports
fan.
Ignore those Red Sox, Yankees. Listen to PFW in Progress.
Oh, without a doubt. I think the Red Sox, Yankees would be later. But anyways, the reason why I was calling was two things. Why they make a big deal about Clay Matthews being a walk-on with USC. And the reason why I say that, I say, because I'm really coming to you guys if you could answer this. Because I guess his family, we could say, is probably well off. Can we say that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, he's got that bloodline. So, and nobody really mentions if he was really heavily recruited by other schools. And maybe he just had the choice where he was just like, you know what, I can afford it. Let me go to USC. Maybe I can make the roster and take it from there. Is that a possibility? I don't understand what the big deal is, as in being a walk-on.
Oh, I think they do that because those are intriguing storylines. When a guy who's, you know, who starts on a team as a walk-on, regardless of whether or not he had a chance to go to another school or...
I agree with you.
You know,
it says something about his character. He didn't take the easy way out. He
right.
wanted to prove himself.
He worked his way up.
Thought he was good, was willing to work to get to where he wanted to get to, all that crap.
Anthony, I think your scenario may be accurate. He may have had other opportunities and decided to go to USC. He wanted to go to USC, and he obviously was in a position where he could do it, but... I think the storyline is still accurate. He didn't earn a scholarship to USC.
Right.
And a lot of these other guys that are, you know, up at the top of the draft earn scholarships at places like USC.
If I recall from the combine, he didn't have a lot of options. He was, because if you remember, he was like 180 pounds.
Well,
he was a nobody.
He didn't play a lot there.
He was a guy.
Yeah, at USC.
Right? He didn't play until last year, right?
No, no, no. But I'm saying coming out of high school,
yeah.
nobody wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he, you know, could have gone to Iowa, but he wanted to go to USC. I think he got to USC because of his family name and history, and kind of that helped him stay there. And then he made good of it. He became a player. I don't think Pete Carroll played him out of charity or took a paycheck from the Matthews family or anything. I think when he actually played, he earned it, but it may have helped him sort of get there, get the opportunity.
Well, let me ask you this question, too, though. Do you, like, I don't know how the whole scholarship thing works out. But I think you're limited how many you can give out, correct?
Yes.
So it's possible that Pete Carroll said, hey, you know what? I can't give you a scholarship, but I like you. you know, if you come to USC, I'm going to give you a shot. You
know, he wasn't worthy of a scholarship.
Not even like that?
No, he wasn't worthy of a scholarship.
No, I don't mean he was going to give him a scholarship. I was saying, Pete Carroll saying, hey, I'm not going to give you a scholarship, but walk on. If you come here by yourself, we'll give you a shot to make the team. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, he might have been a preferred walk-on in that the coaching staff knew of him and was prepared for him, but they didn't have a role for him. He had to earn a role.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, if you come here and pay your way, we'll eventually find a spot for you. If they thought he was worth a spot, they would have given him a scholarship because they have enough, certainly.
And by the way, they have a lot of scholarships
that
they can give out.
That don't end up seeing the field. There's tons of Division I scholarships that never see the field at every BCS school.
It's not you know, it is limited, but there's a lot of them. Yeah.
Right, so it's not a guarantee that you're going to become a starter or any.
Is it 80?
I want to say it's 80 something.
Like that.
80 something.
Maybe just
it's a lot.
So it's like, you know, 27 more
pretty
than
sure
Bill has roster spots.
I'm pretty sure it's 65 at the 1AA level. So
and am I
more
at 1A. Laurinaitis was a walk on too.
I don't believe he was a walk on.
I didn't know.
No.
No.
I could remember seeing something where you said he was a walk on. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe
he
was talking about something else. But have you noticed nobody's been really talking about him these last 2 weeks, I would say. Nobody's been mentioning him.
Yeah, and it's funny because I am like on both sides of that coin. I think it's unfair to him because he went back and had another productive season.
It's
and
another
this,
example
this
of
whole
why
world,
don't
right,
wait.
This whole world where everybody says stay in school, do the right thing, he's just sliding down the projections. But on the other side, anybody who listened last year knows I didn't think he was that great last year had he come out. He's a good, solid player, but he's not a game changer. He's kind of, you know, he's smart, he's cerebral, he knows the defense, he'll give you 100 tackles, but if you're looking for a guy to get 6 sacks, an interception, 3 forced fumbles, I don't think Laurinaitis is your guy.
Now, do you think he's going to slip to the second round, and does he fit in the Patriots system as an inside linebacker?
Yes.
Sure.
I think he could very well slip into the second round. And I got to tell you, I would be very happy if he became Mayo's sidekick at inside linebacker.
Yeah, that would be a nice little combo there. Would be
no question.
Cool.
But, you know, from the write-ups that I've read on Laurinaitis, he's a tackle machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's first-round worthy.
But the MO is kind of tackle machine, not necessarily 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, but, you know, 3 yards past it at times.
Yeah.
You know, not a true playmaker.
Okay.
But I think that's fine to be, because his other intangible, so to speak, is, you know, he loves film study, loves being an inside linebacker because he loves to study the opponent and know all the adjustments and the quarterback of the defense.
He'd be an ideal mate for
sounds like
for
the
Mayo.
Only downside would be he and Mayo would be arguing over what they're seeing because they both know the defense so well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean,
well,
seriously.
That's a good thing to argue about.
Now. Right. So I think in a lot of sense, if he slips into the second round, he would make a very nice second inside linebacker for this team.
Now, do you think he would be more of like, you know, paying attention to the run versus dropping back into coverage where Mayo would probably be better in coverage?
I think Mayo's better in coverage because he's a better athlete. He's faster, quicker, better reaction skills, all of that. So,
Better skin tone for that?
Sure.
But anyways.
Paul Perillo, not happy with that comment, just shaking his head in disgust.
Calm down my final days here at Gillette Stadium.
But the only other thing I have for you guys, too, is that I didn't really look at the chart. I was hoping you would have the answer for it. As in, when Belichick said, you know, he had the possibilities of going all the way up to the 10th spot, what would he have to give up to get to that 10th spot?
Well, he didn't say.
He didn't say. I mean, you could.
Well, I'm saying
based on the chart.
What does it say?
Well, I mean, but you could do it different ways. Based on just the numbers, you could use a second to get X number of points or a third, a fourth, and a fifth to get X number of points. But as I said, I looked at it, and if he traded the one and the two, the three twos, it could actually take you all the way up to 3.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you still keep the second-round pick. He's probably saying for the 10th spot and give up 2 of the second-rounders.
Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Give up.
Yeah,
that's, you know.
I just wanted to get a gauge. I'm like, Jesus, like, what is he going to give up to get up to the 10th spot if he does it? And I don't see a player, I don't think, that's probably going to be up there that he would want. I think he was just showing that he has the flexibility, I guess.
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was an example and something he has no plans of doing.
Right, because if he had plans to do it, he probably wouldn't have said anything.
Probably wouldn't
have
used the example.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather give up those, like, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th round picks, maybe a 3rd, and, you know, play around in those first 2 rounds. That'll be nice.
Right.
But, you know, but that's pretty much it, guys. How you guys doing for lunch? I feel like it's my time to contribute.
I was thinking the same thing.
Talk to Dvorkin.
Send an email to Web Radio. We'll take care.
Who do you think?
Jesus!
No one has the time. It's whenever people feel like doing it.
No, that's
we're nice good for today, but check back next week.
Check
send
back
us an email.
Week.
We'll take care.
Well, let me know. Just let me know what day.
Send Jason an email. Send an email to Web Radio, and Jason will take care.
Jason will put you in Kiwi.
Yeah, I feel like I have to pay homage to you guys. That's all it is.
Well, you're the
best.
All
right, guys. Have a good one.
See all you. Right.
Thanks, Anthony.
Take it easy.
Anthony in Naples.
Quick Sports Center update. The very good and professional writer at the Boston Globe, unlike Tony Maserati, Mike Reese just made a selection on the Sports Center media mock draft and took Robert Ayers, defensive end, outside linebacker, Tennessee, with the 30.
I like Robert Ayers.
I don't.
I don't like him as that hybrid guy, though. I like him as a pick. Football player, but not as that outside linebacker.
I don't like him.
I don't think he's a defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid.
No.
I don't think
Well,
he is.
I think he might be a defensive end. Tell him to put 20 pounds on and become Seymour.
He's a 3-4 end, maybe. He's not a hybrid outside linebacker, in my
opinion. I hate that pick.
I don't like it.
But I think Mike Reese. He does a good job.
I think he's a good player. I don't think he's
hack.
Not at that pick.
Not
right.
for us.
No.
Fred, this
yes.
to continue your work toward your master's, maybe you get master's plus 5 or something.
Right.
Once you're done with this one, I want you to do a study on guys that we legitimately could say had options to be top 10 picks and stayed in school. Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, who's the guy we were just talking about? Jim Laurinaitis.
Jimmy.
Jimbo. Okay. And I want to know, but injuries cancel everything out, but no injuries. Tell me a guy who would have been a top 10 pick, stayed in school, and was a top 10 pick the next year.
Okay.
Because they almost all seem to fall down.
Yeah. The only was Eli Manning, did he stay in for an extra year? Eli?
He stayed for the whole time, I believe.
Peyton would be an example of a guy who maintained his status.
Okay, Peyton did. Yes, that's right.
He would be an example of a guy who maintained his status. He was going to be. He would have been the first pick, mm-hmm. whether he had come out after his junior or senior year.
Right.
But he's like the exception to every rule.
Yeah.
Because he's great. I mean, he was going to be great he did.
Leinart was going to be the top pick of the draft, right?
Right.
Yeah. And he ended up being what, 10?
10, I believe, yeah.
Brady Quinn, a lot of people thought was going to be a top 3 pick. Mm-hmm. He ended up going 20-something.
22,
yep. maybe? Laurinaitis, a lot of people, Andy's right, a lot of people thought he was a top half of the first round guy. Now people aren't even convinced he's going to be a first round guy at all. No injuries. It's not like they stayed in school and risked the injury.
Right.
It's not like they had bad years in school. There's almost no way to improve on that stock by staying in college.
Right. No question. You got to capitalize on the buzz.
All these people that are, get on their high horse, they should stay in school.
For the education.
Yeah, I just think it's ridiculous. They're
Eric's
not
one
in
of
school.
Those. I'm one of those.
They're in school to play football.
There's a shock, a high horse.
Pseudo
Eric's on it. Just a side note,
we're going to get to Eric.
A good book critic, though.
According to Pro Football Weekly's Nolan Araki, best available athletes regardless of position, number 23, James Laurinaitis.
Don.
Okay.
Mattingly.
Mm.
But also, just to throw it around, I know a guy that Eric's madly in love with, Connor Barwin. Where do you think he
I'm
is?
I'm not madly in love with Connor Barwin. In the 40s.
108.
Who?
108. Wow.
That's funny because one of the knocks on him
is
that's a dumb list.
But a knock on him is he's only been a defensive end for a year.
I'll be honest with you.
But he's supposed to be this great athlete that'll develop into something. So on a list like this, he should do better because position isn't supposed to matter.
That's a dumb list.
Where do you want Larry English?
Yeah.
I think he's 34, 33, 36.
By the way, my R lads, they didn't have a write-up on Larry English.
That's your Bible.
But then you go to just the ratings, and they have him listed with an 8, which is very high.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a write up on him.
I couldn't believe it. Stop following our.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. I finally found him. He was in the defensive ends.
Okay,
He wasn't in the outside linebackers.
So. Did you call him and say, "This is Fred Kirsch. I'm with the Patriots. I'm breaking down film. I can't find Larry English."
No, I figured it out later. They had him with the defensive end.
He said, "Look at defensive end, stupid."
Dumas. No, it's dumbass.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Andrew from the Ukraine is on the phone. Are you calling with Skype, Andrew?
Yes, I am.
That's great.
Wow.
Nice.
Never met anybody.
Is this our first Skype caller? I think it is. It's pretty impressive. What do you got, Andrew?
comment, a scheduling comment I just kind of noticed, and then a couple of draft questions. Did you notice that Kansas City's schedule, they play weeks 3 through 6, 4 games in a row against the NFC East.
Really?
Yeah, all 4 in a row.
That's going to leave a mark.
Wow.
Yeah, see how Castle does with that. But I saw that they some people have Vontae Davis and Maben falling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And if those were both available at 23, which one would you take?
Vontae Davis.
Vontae Davis.
Maben for me. I think Maben's going to be the biggest bust of this draft.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maben's a little bit of a one-year wonder. Size issues. There's some questions there. They both have questions why they're falling up. But I told Paul earlier, Davis is falling because he has this bad reputation of not working hard. I guess he got benched for a little while by Ron Zook. But I bought it hook, line, and sinker at the combine talking to him. He did not come off as a bad guy or a guy I'd worry about character-wise. And I've felt in the past guys came off as turds, for a lack of a better word. And I bought into him, so I'm not afraid of him because I think he is supremely gifted physically.
I agree with Andy about Davis, but I also think, and I haven't seen a lot of Maben. We didn't get tape of him,
right?
But I've read a lot about him, and I just think that he has the prototype to make that transition, and I think that position is more important right now for the Patriots. And I, you know, we talked about at the beginning a guy that you would target, a position you would target. We said quarterback, you know, an outside kind of speed rush, pass rush specialist. I think Maben could be that guy. I think he's very athletic. I agree with Andy and Eric. He's kind of a one-year guy, but
the other thing too,
I like him.
The other thing
like
about him too, Paul, was he played very light at Penn State. I think he was 235 maybe.
Yeah, he'd need to get bigger than that.
Well,
no
he said at the combine that he'd already put on the extra 15, and he felt like he could go even 15 or 20 pounds more in either direction, if depending on which team drafted him and what they wanted him to do. If you were a team that wanted him to get heavier and play more of a, you know, closer to the line kind of guy, that's another reason why I'm a little concerned, is because he might still have the time to do that because he's young. He came out a year early. But I'd rather have, if I'm going to take a chance on a guy in the first round, I want him to be as close to being ready to play.
Be what he is.
As close to it as possible right away.
I look at it as a 4-3 kind of end. He could be exactly what he is now. Size-wise, like a Dwight Freeney. You know, he could be smaller and just be a rush specialist. Now, to be that in Belichick's system, you need to be a little bit stouter. Mm-hmm. You need to be bigger and be able to set the edge on that rush and do all those things. And I don't know, at 235, I don't know if he could do that.
Right.
He'd need a good 15, 20 pounds.
According to Pro Football Weekly, he lined up at 226 pounds in the Rose Bowl.
That's too light, no doubt.
And put on weight to come to the combine at 249. Where unfortunately he ran 4.9 and change 40s.
And that's a concern.
So apparently he couldn't deal with at least that quickly added weight.
But what do you think like Mike Rabel's 40 is right now?
Right now?
Yeah, probably 5'2".
You know, so I mean,
but
I
see, Paul, we get back to that argument where I got Mike Rabel as a free agent after he was a mid round pick. A guy in the first round, I expect him to fill pretty much all the slots
I think this guy will be filled. I think he will. I think
he's going to stink.
On paper, I didn't see a lot of him. I saw him play at Penn State a few times because the Big Ten is always on TV. But you know, it's not exactly the best way to scout either. You know, the only way to scout.
Another question.
Yes, Andrew.
Is I don't know what it would take to get up there, but if they took their 47th and 58th picks, what would it take to get up, or how far would that get them up into the first round, do you think? Because, you know, the rumors are that the Giants are looking for a wide receiver. Could they jump ahead of them and draft a wide receiver with, you know, if they took a defensive end or a cornerback with the 23rd, could they get, like, to 27 or 28?
I think they could easily get that high with
I don't know why you want to, but... I'm not really.
If I were the Giants, I wanted to take a wide receiver, I wouldn't move. I'd just take whoever's
there.
He's
talking about the Patriots taking one and getting ahead of the Giants.
Right, I'm saying Patriots jumping ahead of the Giants.
I'm not interested in that because I think this is a pretty deep receiver class.
Exactly.
And I think beyond Crabtree, in my mind, there's everybody has questions. You know, it depends on who you like, but I think you could stay at those picks you're talking about trading and get one there that may very well be as good or better than the guy that you'd get late in the first round.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Andrew.
I agree. I think Crabtree and Macklin, to me, are
clearly separated from the rest of the pack, but I think there are a lot of good receivers.
There are.
That's one of the positions the personnel people were talking about. We probably had 25 receivers on that tape, and I didn't really see a guy that I just said, wow, that guy, he can't play.
Darius Hayward Bay is that
guy
for me.
He's a one-trick pony.
I thought Ramses Barden was that guy for you.
Well, Ramses Barden.
He's the one who hated Ramses Barden.
Ramses Barden is the only guy in the whole tape that I didn't think could play.
I'd be intrigued by Barden as a late-round pick. Yeah. The trouble is everybody keeps blowing him up.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Oh, okay. Well, we've got some MP3 emails.
Mikey Vandalism?
Mikey Vandalism is one. He says, hey, PFW, I'm very excited for the draft, as well as the draft show. And since I won't be working like a little peasant, I'm going to try to call in live. So hopefully this draft weekend you guys will be able to speak with Mikey Vandalism live on PFW. Enjoy the premium radio quality MP3 clip and talk to you guys on draft day. So here's Mikey Vandalism's MP3 clip.
What's good, guys, at PFW in Progress? This is Mikey Vandalism coming to you from East Haven, Connecticut, with another premium question. So I was doing my homework. I looked at all the different prospects in the draft and looked at the Patriots' needs. And two different prospects that really stood out to me were Everett Brown and Robert Ayers. You know, I really like them both. I think they could both be good fits for the New England Patriots. But do you think that those two guys are worth trading up for in the draft? I know Belichick mentioned, you know, how he would consider doing that, and that is a possibility. So do you think that they're worthy enough to be able to trade up for? Also, out of the two, which one would you take over the other? I know Ayers played with Mayo, so that'd be kind of cool to see them reunite on the New England Patriots. So what do you guys think?
All right, that's Mikey Vandalism's premium quality MP3.
When he starts off by saying he's doing his homework, I actually take him literally. Like, you know, he's got math and science that he's working on.
I think he does.
He's not working on it.
Right. Answer his question, I would take Everett Brown in that case. We talked about Ayers a little bit earlier.
I love Brown. I like Ayers. I think Ayers is a totally different kind of player. Mm. I guess some people think he can be a hybrid. I don't think Team PFW does.
Okay.
And Everett Brown I would certainly trade up for.
Yeah.
Like him. I think he is maybe the best pass rusher in the draft. I think
I
just
like
pure pass rusher. I think it's a God-given talent that he has. As I wrote on the blog, it's just in his DNA.
Right.
Hey, Dan from Fairfax writes in, and he says it's time to hit the way back machine and do a top 10 list. Top 10 reasons Fred puts John and LA's Friday outtakes on Patriots.com. I got a feeling this is going to be listener crime.
And ugly for Fred Kirsch, too.
Number 10, the plan was for Craig from Carolina's Friday outtakes, but he disappeared for a year and a half, so it was on to plan B. Number 9, Stephen Guskowski kidnapped Fred's wife and threatened to kill her if he didn't put the column on the website. Number 8, Gary was Fred Scott Pioli, and now that he isn't here anymore, there isn't anyone to talk Fred out of things like this. I am suddenly very worried about the Saturday's draft prospect. Number 7, it was the natural follow-up to replace Fridays with Felger. Number 6, he figured, hey, there is a disclaimer, so there's no reason other teams will think it comes from the Patriots or put the column on their bulletin boards. Number 5, he felt bad that John made up a story about finding a girlfriend in Egypt, so he let John write for PFW. Oh, wait, that wasn't John. Strike that one. Number 4, damn if I know, but Stacey James never would have allowed it if he were still alive. Number 3,
what?
It's just a joke. Number 3, Fred thought it was so great when Tony Dungy made a joke about the Patriots cheating in a video game, and he wanted the Patriots' official website to make jokes just like that every week. Number 2, he was blown away by how funny John's phone calls were and said, we need more of this guy. And the number 1 reason Fred puts John in LA's Friday outtakes on Patriots.com, John bought the boys lunch. Ta-da!
That's the most likely.
He hasn't actually done that, though.
He hasn't bought lunch? He's out of work, isn't he?
I don't know. Well, yeah. He's got work. Oh, yeah.
Except
so he really is out of
us.
Work.
Yeah. Hey, thousands read it every Friday. What can I say? You know?
By accident, though.
By accident? Oh, that's not... webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at... Oh, Paul is checking his watch. That
Paul
means
Perillo.
It's a big... Big show time for Paul, big timing us, wearing jeans and a striped referee shirt. So, there we go.
That's good.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
He doesn't
even
say goodbye.
He doesn't even say goodbye. He just walks out.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. You know? So if,
now, is that a personal day or a vacation day that he's taking?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. HR will want to talk to him later.
Yeah. So if you want to tune into EEI online later and call up and, you know, we should, you know,
Harass our listeners
call and
you've
mention
tried to do
PFW
that.
And Progress.
They don't do that.
Why don't they do that?
Because I don't think it's as entertaining to listen to as us.
No, but I'm not asking you to listen. I'm just asking people to call the show.
Yeah.
And you know, get our name in there. Show the power of this show.
Do the Howard Stern thing and just call up and drop PFW Progress references.
Scalavano. Just yell it.
I wonder if he's on with Tony Maserati.
Oh, that could get up.
He can't go on anymore.
You should call in if that's the case.
Yeah.
He's part of the Globe, so he can't go on anymore.
Right.
Oh.
Damn it. So, let's see.
That'd be a funny call.
Bald buffoon.
Let's see. Andy in Foxborough, you're next.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut. First off, I wanted to commend all of you on your draft coverage, including the blogs. Andy, nice comment on K-Mike, the D3 rushing leader. Kamik?
I don't know. He sent it in. I wrote a line about how Donald Brown led the world in rushing last year. I knew it was not true. I knew he only led Division I, and somebody was kind enough to do the research. And some guy from Glenville State had more than him, and some Kamik from Mount Union who beat a beaver. a beaver held the record before him. The guy one-upped a beaver.
But Chris offers some either-ors regarding tomorrow. If you had to take either one or the other, which one would you prefer?
I like this. Go.
Okay, go.
Malauulu or Arakpo?
Mauluga.
I take Arakpo.
Arakpo.
Malauulu or Everett Brown?
Everett Brown.
Cushing or Barwin?
Barwin.
Matthews or Barwin?
Barwin.
English or Matthews?
English.
Alfonso Smith or Darius Butler?
Butler.
Clint Sintem or Barwin?
Sintem.
Guskowski or Scalavano?
Guskowski.
I abstain.
Two Gender or the Doctor?
Grodecki.
Tacoma.
No, I'll take the Doctor because he's here. good luck, guys. Looking forward to PFW tomorrow evening. I think he means
Saturday
yeah. evening.
Yeah, because we won't be on tomorrow evening.
Right. So, and a lot of people have games today. Reed from the Cape. Hey, guys, and Eric. Fred, you are like the Tom Brady of the staff. A show could be sucking, but you will mount a comeback and turn it into a great moment in PFW history. Eric, you're like Chris Hansen. You both have a terrible leg and have a tendency to shank a lot of kicks, but every once in a while you get off a good one. Paul, you are like Logan Mankins. You are both huge, and if a guy pisses you off, you might punch him in the nuts. Andy, you are like Matt Light. You both are immature, and both of you have probably taken one too many shots to the overly sized heads you share.
Does that now, mean I'm an all-pro?
Now let's play over-under. Over-under. 4.5 Patriots Pro Bowlers in 09. Under.
Over.
Over, yeah.
40 passes thrown by Kevin O'Connell in 09.
Under.
Yeah.
You better hope it's an under.
Yeah.
10 trades in the first round of the draft.
10? No.
Under.
Okay.
In just the first round?
Just the first
under.
Round.
Under. Yeah. Under.
Two trades of any kind the Patriots make this weekend.
Push.
Over.
I say two.
4.5 wide receivers drafted in the first round.
Under.
Crabtree, Macklin, Harvin.
He's not going to go first round. I don't think.
I'm going to go under. I'm going to go four.
Okay. 2.5 linebackers drafted by the Patriots.
Over. They'll take three.
50 emails regarding Eric taking pictures of naked girls.
Under.
Over.
And, Fred, the reason why Eric doesn't want to talk about what he did is because it is illegal in 12 states.
Is it really?
No.
You're quick to say no. You've looked into it?
No, I didn't do anything that's illegal in
any
state.
Everything's legal in Rhode Island. If you're inside, he could have paid her and banged her because it's legalized prostitution indoors.
Andy's correct about that in Rhode Island.
Which means you should have given her $20 and said, you know, can I?
All right, so I think it's time to open up this subject here. On Tuesday's show, we uncovered, or who was it that uncovered it?
The psychopath
PFW
Paul in London.
In Progress people.
Paul in London uncovered.
Psychopath, crazy, obsessed fan.
Scalavano.com was cited as a credit on a girl who poses nudes website.
Daisy May.
And at first, Eric deny. And then when we finally proved it,
it's not her name. That's why.
Listen. Don't play semantics with me, okay, Bill Clinton. You know what we were talking about.
I didn't know
you,
what you were talking about.
You finally admitted that you had a connection. But now, other things have been unearthed.
Like?
There's some other things that you've been involved in with taking pictures of women.
Like?
Like Project Red Sox.
No, that's not me, Fred.
You're involved.
No, I'm not.
And
take credit, because you're going to earn a lot of... I'm going to think a lot more of you if you're
now,
at this porn career.
Not, no, do you have an online pseudonym that goes by the name Razor?
No.
And you dub yourself as a guy somewhere between New York and Boston?
No.
Huh?
No.
That's not you?
No, Fred.
I don't know about
you
this.
You lying your ass off.
Are you sure?
Am I sure? Yes, I'm sure, Fred.
This guy Nate, calls himself The Razor. Which, you know, that's
wait, what, guy, wait, what guy are you talking about?
There's a guy who contributes to these websites.
What websites?
It's a series of model websites that, you know, they pose.
I have nothing to do with that, Fred. Nothing.
Okay. I don't know.
No.
The Razor.
No.
But you know what's going to happen. Unless you just get it out, Eric, people are going to start digging. It's the same thing in politics. Unless you just get it out in the open, more stuff comes up. Then you look worse. So get it all out now. Spill your guts.
There's nothing to get out, Fred.
Spill your guts about this
photography
thing.
I'll tell you that story, but there's nothing
okay,
else
let's
beyond
story.
That story.
Let's hear the story.
A few years ago, I have some friends that work at RISD.
Yes.
Rhode Island School of Design for right. most people who don't know.
Right. The most prestigious art school in the world.
The most, I don't know. There's
in the world,
one in France
yes.
that's pretty, you know.
Art school.
Yeah.
RISD is the top.
Okay.
Is that true?
I don't think anything in Rhode Island is the top.
I was going to say.
You know, anyway.
Is. Anyway, they're big art people, and they were trying to convince me for years to...
Pose nude?
No. Oh. All artists have to expand their portfolio to go outside their comfort zones. So they're saying, you know, you should do nudes. And I was...
Drawing them.
No, or painting or photo.
No, they
whatever.
Were saying, Eric, you should do
something.
Some nudes. It would make you lighten up a little if you did a couple nudes.
So it doesn't matter, drawing, painting, or
whatever.
Photography?
Whatever, yeah.
Just do nudes.
Use nudes as a subject. They were trying to convince me that for a long time.
Okay.
And I resisted. I had my niche. I liked what I was doing.
Well, you're a good Catholic boy. You're not
yes,
into that.
Yes, that's true.
He likes Catholic boys?
Only if they're nude.
Come on, Fred. Please. Don't egg him on.
No, I won't. But you resisted.
I resisted for a long time.
For moral reasons?
No, just it wasn't anything I wanted to do with my artwork.
For moral reasons?
No, it just was not something I wanted to do with my artwork.
Okay.
I liked what I was doing. I was focusing on a certain thing, and I wanted to just
things were
do
selling
that.
So well and everything
cats
else.
Cats and old women.
Cats and old
women. Anyway, go ahead.
Have
I'm
your
sorry.
Fun. Have it all
I'm
now.
Sorry.
Have
I'm
it all so- now.
That's fun.
No, there might be more later.
He's really mad.
He is.
Yeah, because I told you the other day I didn't want to talk about this.
Well, but people are just going to keep getting more information.
There's no more information to get.
They've already found a lot
you.
Of stuff. All right, so
they have found nothing.
Finish the story. This is very fascinating.
So finally, they said, "Look, it's like I don't even know how you would go about finding a model or you know how you do all that." They're like, "We work at RISD. We know what we're doing. We'll put it on the forums. We'll have ways of finding models for you."
Why were they so interested in having you do this?
Because that's. It's part of the art world. All artists have some sort of nudes in
well,
their
portfolios. Why don't
portfolios.
They just do it? Why were they making you do it?
Well, they're not
it?
Artists. They work at RISD.
And they're pushing Eric to expand his horizons
right.
as
okay.
an artist.
Right. So they said, look, we'll find the models for you. We'll put them on some form or whatever, however they do go about it. They said, all you have to do is give us your email address. The requests will start flooding in. You'll have plenty of models to choose from.
Really?
So I'm like, okay, go ahead.
How do I do this? Can I do this?
Yeah.
So they did whatever they did.
I have a camera.
And within like 2 days, my email inbox was getting flooded with all these random women who claimed to be models.
Box full of box.
Claimed to be. So you were dubious.
Well, because some of them would send pictures, some wouldn't. So I said I would reply to some of them and say, well, I kind of need to see what I'm working with.
Fat, ugly.
Exactly. Send pictures or send some sort of portfolio.
You're familiar with the artist Ruben.
Harry.
I'm sure. He liked, you know, painting portly women.
Yes, that's... That was his thing.
Yeah.
That's not my thing.
We're getting to that wasn't Eric's thing. Proceed with the story,
yeah,
Eric.
So some of them would have elaborate setups where they had their own website. Some would send just JPEGs or whatever. And
Or any of these paid websites?
No, Fred.
They went through strippers.
No. These are people who worked at RISD, like worked for...
Oh, these are all RISD students?
Not necessarily students, but people who worked as models for RISD students.
Okay.
And they all had plenty of portfolio experience, but wasn't really what I was looking for. So then finally, this one girl had the right combination of experience and, you know, a decent enough look. So I said, well, all right, I went back and forth.
You're being picky on something you've never even done before. Anyway, go
ahead. That's how Eric works.
You got to be more.
Why are you getting
so
upset, Fred?
Anyway, I'm just trying to help you. Go ahead. Keep going. Get to the good.
So, I love how he interrupts you and then
I know.
Says, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. So finally, I connected with this girl and said, well, why don't we get together and talk about it, whatever. So talked about it and said, well, why don't we start off with something very easy. Just do a short photo shoot and see how that goes. So we did that, and it didn't really come out the way I thought it was going to.
What
Why?
Didn't come out?
The final result, the photos.
Okay.
And
why?
I don't want to be mean, Andy, so please don't let me answer that
question.
She
was a dog.
No, she was not a dog.
Oh.
No, not at all.
Okay.
But there were other qualities that I just didn't, it wasn't what I was looking for.
She wasn't well kept.
No.
Oh, no?
No.
Okay.
Big old salami nipples.
No. Oh. So let me just leave it at that. It just wasn't what I was
expecting.
So
it didn't work out, but she still gave you credit. Did you have sex with her?
No, Fred.
No?
God.
And since then, she's entered the adult business.
So this is it. There's nothing else that's going to come out.
That is absolutely it. And we had an agreement. We said, you know, if either one of us doesn't want to go through with it, there's, you know, no, it wasn't like a...
What were you going to do with this stuff? Sell it?
Paint, yeah. Turn the photos into paintings and then sell the paintings.
You know, he takes a picture. A year and a half later, it becomes a painting.
But, yeah.
But that was it. It never went anywhere. I wasn't pleased with...
Now, this took place at your home?
No, a different location. But
hotel room?
No.
Because a lot of the aspects of this story sound shady.
A mutually agreed upon... Just say what it is. Why do you have to be so vague?
Because I don't want to talk about it, Fred. It is no one's goddamn business.
It's on the internet!
It's nobody's business.
Well, it is now. It's also on iPods across America.
Which is why I didn't want to talk about it in the first place.
Aye, aye, aye.
I don't think we can say goddamn.
You were gonna paint her.
You're not supposed to say goddamn.
You were going to paint her, Eric.
God bless you.
Was going to. Didn't.
I know.
Ergo, nobody's effing business.
You've got to make these decisions beforehand, not after the fact.
What do you mean beforehand?
You know, if this isn't something you wanted out there, then you shouldn't have done it to begin with.
2 years from now, I might be on an internet radio show, and I don't want to talk about it, so I should probably not go ahead with this project. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, my God. If it's potentially embarrassing, you probably should have stayed away from it.
I didn't bring it up. A psychopath listener in the UK found it.
And he also didn't think it was going to be a failure. You know how Eric, next stop was like best photographer in the world taking nude pictures all the time.
No, and as my initial instincts proved right, it wasn't something I wanted to do.
So now are you mad at the RISD people for getting you into this?
No, I'm not mad at them at all. I'm mad at all you idiots for bringing the thing up when I said I didn't want to talk about it.
I didn't do it.
You brought it up, Andy.
That's true. It was forwarded to me, though. And I tried to give you the out.
You made it sound like there was some sort of...
You know something about... So, and you said, no.
Because I didn't.
I know, but you know you had done it. So, okay, so the name's wrong.
The way Andy posed it on the air the other day, it made it sound like there was a supermodel who was attaching her name to me. I thought that's what he was talking about.
I don't think I said supermodel. I just said model.
Right, and that's what I
implied. What it said at the top of her page, model.
This is how you get yourself in trouble,
Andy.
Eric. You make
these
leaps.
That's what I thought you meant when you said model.
You know, that's why you get in trouble. Is you make these leaps. You know, you heard model and your brain said supermodel.
That's what I was thinking.
You know?
And then you said the name, which was completely different than her real name.
So is that her stage name?
I don't know. I only knew her
Haven't seen her lately? Was she from Rhode Island?
No, she was originally from
Daisy May.
Hawaii.
Oh, that's
was
right.
She in the Beverly Hillbillies or something?
I don't know.
All right. Well, that's the story.
What's
and
this Red Sox thing?
Eric's sticking to it.
That's one of the things on her portfolio that she did before. That was one of her photo shoots. Was this
and you're not the razor?
No. God Fred, no.
Because the Razor is somewhere between New York and Boston.
Fine. It has nothing to do with
somebody
me.
Somebody from Providence would describe themselves that way.
It has nothing to do with me. Do you have a Bible? Do you want me to put my hand on a Bible? Do you want me to swear?
I don't know if you're very religious anymore, Eric, with this nudist stuff and everything. I don't know if I can, you know, the credibility's kind of shot here.
Come on. Don't make him quit. We need him this weekend.
All right,
Philly.
No, he's fine. He's you're going to be all right, right?
If you stop talking about this non-story, then okay. Maybe I will. Yes.
All right, we got to take a break. Eric's going to cool down. We'll be right back.
Want to be rewarded just for shopping? At Patriot Place in Foxborough, you can be. Use your already existing Visa cards when you visit New England's most unique destination and earn points while enjoying everything Patriot Place has to offer. The points you earn from shopping, dining, and the entertainment at Patriot Place can be redeemed for amazing rewards, like free admission to the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, tickets to Gillette Stadium events, autographed Patriots merchandise, and more. The Patriot Place Rewards Program is the first of its kind. Simply enroll your existing Visa cards. There's no approval and no new card. Enrolling is easy and it's free. Register one or all of your existing Visa cards and you'll get all the benefits associated with your existing card, plus Patriot Place rewards at no extra cost. And every time you shop, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 shopping spree. Visit patriot-place.com to enroll your existing Visa cards today. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Super Liga Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Super Liga final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival TC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs, the reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew, and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line and saved by Reese.
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution!
Eric's had a tough time opening up on PFW in Progress. They begged and pleaded and still nothing. Come on, Eric.
No, not in the last 2 days, no. I was not talking about that. I don't care. No, I'm not talking about this.
We're wondering if it's just on the radio or if it's the same deal upstairs. We've placed our hidden microphones in Eric's cube to get the scoop. Let's listen in.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to grab lunch. You want anything?
Sorry, no. I'm not talking about it.
Hey, Eric, do you know what Belichick's press conference is?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
Hey, Eric, my internet seems to be down. Is yours working?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
Hey, did you watch the Idol final? I can't believe David Cook won.
No.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm not... I'm not doing it with you, no.
Hey, Eric, did you do the blitz today?
I said too much. That part I'm not going to talk about.
Eric, $4.09 a gallon. Can you believe these gas prices?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Hey, Eric, make sure you tell your friends to check out the new edition of Patriots Today.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, my God, Eric, he's choking. Do the Heimlich maneuver.
No. No, not at all.
Thank you for calling Gillette Stadium. How may I direct your call? All right, Eric, take it easy. Have a good night.
No, I'd have to say no.
Whoa, well, all right, Eric. We'll see what happens on the next show.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Why do we have to go on the air and make a big deal about it?
All right.
You know what's sad about that whole exchange?
Yes.
There are a lot of voices on there that are no longer with us.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, that is sad. I
feel bad about that.
Anyway, Eric's calmed down. He had...
No, I didn't mean it like that.
You're drinking some water? What kind of water are you drinking?
Italian.
Aqua what?
Pana.
Where do you get that? A Cumberland Farm?
No, Shaw's.
Shaw's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, we got this at Tavolino the other day.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move on now.
Thank God.
Eric promises us we have all the information that is out there, so there's nothing else to be found. So I'm going to, you know.
So dig harder.
I'm going to tell the online detectives to, you know, chill out.
Psychopaths. to relax. With
you got to get him going again, Eric.
If you're
going
to be a public figure, it's comes.
You know, at
territory.
Least Kamani would go to one site and he would only bust my chops through email. Now we got these crazy people who are starting to dig and do investigations. That they need to calm down.
You're like Tom Brady. To you just down. Want your privacy.
I'm surprised Strippers hasn't chimed in.
Oh, he's probably.
He'll pull out the
somewhere.
Big guns later.
All right, let's get back to the email, shall we? Well, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We got the draft coming up on Saturday. We're going to be online with our show at 6 o'clock Saturday at what time on Sunday?
Noon.
Noon on Sunday. So 6 to 9 on Saturday, noon to 3 on Sunday. That's live.
Six action-packed
But there's
hours.
A lot of other stuff going on the site. There's going to be a new top 10 list released at 7 o'clock tonight.
Hold it. Oh.
Top 10 rookie classes.
Tonight or tomorrow?
Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
I keep Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Whenever he announces something, it's never right.
Friday night at 7 o'clock, new top 10 list. Top 10 rookie classes that you can vote on.
This guy's nose is as ugly as mine.
Andre Tippett would like to vote for the 1982 class.
So you'll see what the experts said, and then you can go and create your own list based on the pool of classes that are up there.
Now, does this coincide with an all-access?
There's an all-access show that's airing tomorrow, the pre-draft show, 7 o'clock on WBZ. And a lot of stuff going on the website this weekend. There'll be live Bill Belichick press conferences, Patriots Today show on Monday. They're going to be doing Patriots Now video updates during the day. We'll be blogging, of course, the radio show. It's just a big, big weekend.
Patriots Draft Central, baby.
It's one of our highest trafficked days. That Saturday and Sunday rivals just about any other day except for the Super Bowl.
And
when we're in it.
And when they pull off that Julius Peppers deal, that's going to be even bigger.
That could be huge.
Yeah, they're going to acquire a guy with a $16 million cap figure when they have 4-point-something million on the cap.
I'm worried about this year and this year alone, Andy.
They only have $4 million on the cap. How are you going to swallow the $16 million?
Players.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Now we're just cutting guys left and right to get under the cap.
Trading.
Cutting, trading, same deal. Ask Vrabel.
Alex writes in, Jake Steele and crew, I'm interested to know if you think there are any players in this year's draft that are worth trading up for.
Everett Brown.
Think there's only one, Everett Brown, especially if the Patriots don't trade for Pepper. So here's three questions about Brown. One, how high do you think the Patriots would have to get in order to pick him? I think he's going to go in the low teens.
Yeah.
Mid-teens probably, yeah.
What combination of picks do you think could get them that high? I don't have access to a trade value chart, but I'm guessing picks 23 and 34 would get it done considering the depth of this year's draft.
Yes, it would definitely get it done.
That or maybe a couple of the second-rounders.
And finally, would that combination of picks be worth it in your mind? If the Patriots like Brown as much as I do, I think those picks would be worth it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you guys like about Everett Brown?
Natural pass rusher. Yeah. Tremendous pass rusher. Can vary his moves. First step. Love everything about him as a pass rusher.
Played against top-flight competition. Consistently had success. Could step in right away and contribute if, for some reason, they don't get Taylor or Peppers as that outside guy on the other side of Adalys Thomas. So, a lot to like about Everett Brown.
Freddie, I'll go to the Pro Football Weekly, give you their summary. Possesses a physical skill set to intrigue 4-3 teams as a right end or 3-4 teams as a rush linebacker. Showed up surprisingly shorter at the combine than many expected, 6'1.5", and might not have the length desired as a prototypical rush linebacker, but still boasts elite first step quickness, natural pass rush ability, and pure speed to consistently bend the edge at the next level. So he might not be quite as tall as you'd like him to be, but the bottom line is he can get to the quarterback. And you know who's not quite as tall as you want him to be? Reigning Defensive Player of the Year, James Harrison.
True. Okay.
So if you can get to the quarterback, people forget that you're a little shorter. You know who's also not all that tall?
Dwight Freeney.
I think this guy can be one of those guys, a guy you pencil in for double-digit sacks.
All right.
I like him.
WebRadioPatriots.com.
That said, I would also
email address.
I mean, we said Brown because we think Arakpo, I would, if he's there at like 17... I don't think he will be, but as much as I'm scared of him, I'd consider trading up to take him because I think he could eventually be an elite player. I mean,
I'm less confident about him doing it than Everett Brown.
I am a little less confident as well, but he has actually a little more experience playing linebacker, so to speak, dropping into coverage a little bit. His question seems to be kind of like motivation and drive and whether he plays all the time or whether he's a...
Which is weird because he had the reputation of being this workout fiend at Texas.
Yeah, it's a weird, dynamic.
Muscle
I think he's more of a freak than a freak football player kind of guy. which is, you know, you like to have good football players.
Right.
Chris with a TIAN has sent in his first MP3.
Oh, nice. Oh.
So why don't we listen to Christian's MP3.
Oh, no. What are you doing, Christian?
What?
I have no formal MP3. Well, all right. Hello, this is Chris with a TIN coming to you live from my mother's attic in Revan, Massachusetts. Stop laughing, Paul Perillo. Quick question for you guys today. Want to know what has happened to middle linebackers, particularly Ohio State's James Laurinaitis and USC's Ray Maliuga. A year ago, they were slated probably to go top 5, top 10. Now, see a lot of projections putting them late into the first, even some early in the second. Want to get your thoughts on that. Great draft coverage as usual this year, Fred, by you and the guys on the site. It was phenomenal. Andy, I don't have anything for you. You just suck.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
That's Chris with the TIA.
Go back to the basement. The attic's too high for
great
you.
Great caller.
You're low life.
Great caller. Great great emailer, great MP3 person,
yeah,
even
best.
Though he doesn't have very much experience with the MP3. That's good stuff.
Well, we talked about it earlier. First of all, they both chose to stay in school,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like that's an automatic way to drop your draft stock the following year. Laurinaitis just isn't very productive. Just I don't know if he's going to be a game changer.
He's not wow worthy.
And Maliuga is an inside linebacker. I think that's the problem. Inside linebacker is a position where it's funny because you have Patrick
well, so
Willis.
Is Laurinaitis.
No, I know, but I'm saying the negatives. There's no negative against Maliuga in terms of can't make plays. He's going to make some plays at mm-hmm. the next level.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, it just feels like inside linebacker, despite having Gerard Mayo, Patrick Willis, guys win Rookie of the Year,
yep.
Pro Bowl type guys,
yep.
it's like it doesn't get the respect. It's almost like it's becoming fullback.
It's weird. And, you know.
Because I think Maliuga has a chance to be a defensive Rookie of the Year type player.
Maliuga?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And now we'll remind see
you,
where he ends
reminds
up.
You a lot of Mayo, right?
Because he's fluctuated a lot. He was a top 10 pick. He's a mm-hmm. bottom 20 pick. He's a 15 pick. He's one of those guys. We'll see where he actually ends up getting drafted.
Reminds me, though, a lot of a Mayo situation last year.
Mm-hmm.
There were teams that thought, oh, it was a stretch taking him at 10. Some people thought he was going to be available later in the first
20s,
round.
Yeah.
Right. And look what he did.
Right.
For, Rookie of the Year. And it's funny that inside linebacker is a spot that isn't really considered a glamour position or a position of need for many teams in this draft when, like we said, the last few rookies, defensive rookies of the year have been inside linebackers.
It's easy to, you know, it's easy to kind of judge what they did in their rookie year because it's tackles and, you know, if your guy has over 100 tackles in a season, he was obviously a big part of the defense. That's, you know, for a rookie, mm-hmm. that's hard to do. So, you know, it's kind of easy to give them that.
Plus, you can be – they're not game changers.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
As good as Willis and Mayo were, they were both on bad defenses.
Right.
The Patriots' defense was not good despite getting a huge injection of youth and
right.
great play out of their draft pick. So I think people are looking for game changers in the first round, and that's
right.
cornerback, safety, outside linebacker, whatever.
And D'Amico Ryans basically was the Texans' defense
right.
when he won it that year.
But I think Fred's right. I mean, you can get, especially with the unofficial nature of
right.
tackles, you can get, oh, he's got 150 tackles as a rookie. He's our defensive rookie of the year.
Right. He's obviously productive. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know? Josh from Arlington says, what the F, Fred? Still no throwbacks in the online pro shop. You said they'd be there by Wednesday. You're a liar.
You did.
Hey, can we call Ken Flanders? Because that's what I heard. So let's
call
see. Maybe they're there now.
Hi.
We'll see if we can get him on the phone.
Hi. You've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Nothing, huh? That's what I was told.
He didn't even try.
I would keep checking. The week's not over. They said this week. So
you said Wednesday.
They said hopefully tomorrow. This was Tuesday. So, but you know, this stuff's coming from China. So you know, sometimes it gets.
Maybe they're counting.
Pirates got it.
Maybe they're counting all of draft weekend, Andy, as the week.
Could be.
You know, because it's a long week.
Or some
for every long week
pilot
is a short
is wearing
week too,
a
you know?
Throwback Patriots jersey while holding people hostage. Do you see the
the kid that they took off the ship the other day?
Oh no, I was going to say Richard Phillips is going to be honored at Fenway Park, Red Sox Yankees, I believe Sunday.
Oh, good.
I think he may be throwing out the first pitch and
really?
Kind of honored before the game.
That's good.
Rob from Arlington, Virginia says, how far do you think Hakeem Nicks and Percy Harvin will fall?
It was Nicks, you jerk.
Based on their reported
no,
positive marijuana tests.
Brandon Tate was the player named in the story today.
I think they confused it because I'm like 99% sure it was Knicks.
The story I read today in the clips.
Who wrote the story?
I didn't.
Was
look
it Tony
that.
Maserati? It could be completely false.
Could have been, but I don't remember. But no, they had Tate and Harvin in there.
I'm pretty sure it was Knicks. Strippers, can you Google that and get back to me?
All right. How far do you think Harvin might fall?
I don't think he's going to. Well, it's personal interpretation.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume coaches have. Because the theory is that a lot of these coaches think a lot of their players smoke weed. But the fact that he did it right at the job interview, wasn't smart enough to not do it, either says he's an idiot or he's addicted and can't help himself, and neither of those are good things. But, like, Bill Belichick, I'm sure, has a pretty good understanding of what he thinks Percy Harvin is as a person. And I'm sure Bill Belichick's not naive enough to think that nobody in the locker room down the hall here has ever smoked weed. We all know that people in that locker room have and probably still do smoke weed.
Right.
I saw Pro Football Talk had one source say that he believes 50% of his team smokes weed.
Yep.
So
once in a blue moon, Andy.
Yeah, once in a blue moon, Randy Moss smokes it.
Right.
Remember those comments. So I think it's all personal how you interpret the failure and the guy and what happened, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big a deal, personally.
I don't either.
Second round, though, to answer the direct question, I think that's as far as either one of them.
Oh, God, yeah. Certainly Harvin. I mean, I think he's a first-round talent. If you get him in the second, whether he smokes weed or not, that's value.
Yemi from Texas says, why are you guys so high on Rey Maliuga? Reich said scouts told him Maliuga would be a liability on third down. Todd McShay basically described him as an undisciplined player who goes where the ball carrier is. That style wouldn't fit with the Patriots, who believe in players doing their own job. Ignore the next question if deemed appropriate. Andy once said that before him, his wife was all German. Does that mean that Andy was her first? If it is, congratulations, Andy. It is difficult to find girls like that nowadays.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, no.
Oh, some past there you want to maybe forget about, huh?
What? I mean,
your wife had some.
Aside from Eric, aren't most people, when they reach their teen years, not virgins anymore
in
this world?
Well, in Dartmouth, that's certainly the case. You know.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a very promiscuous area of Massachusetts.
Aren't you the guy who said, oh, when I was 14?
Yeah, I was in Dartmouth when it happened.
Passing through on your way to the Cape.
Surprise, huh?
Yeah. What about Maliuga? Why are you guys so high on him? Is he a liability on third down?
I don't think he's a liability. I don't think he's going to be as good as Gerard Mayo on third down, but I think he can play. He can pass rush a little.
Yeah.
I think he can drop into coverage a little bit. I don't think there's any great inside linebackers that are great on passing downs. It's not a prerequisite to the position for me. I don't think he's a huge liability, though, where you say, oh, got to get him off the field. He can't do anything. But I think the guy can make plays. The one question I have is there's, like, rumblings that he may have a drinking problem, which is, again, a concern. I mean, similar to marijuana. I mean, they're kind of similar. One's illegal, one's legal.
Right.
That's kind of differentiates between the two, but you know, if he can do it mildly responsibly, maybe it has no effect on his career, or maybe he's totally addicted and has a major effect. I don't know. But the freelancing thing, first I'm guessing that he wouldn't be allowed to freelance and he would change his tune a little here. And has there ever been a guy more known for freelancing than Junior Seau?
Yeah.
And he seemed to come in and be able to play and be able to fit in. Now, I'm not saying Maliuga is Junior Seau, but
I mean, unprecedented.
Guys do certain things in certain situations, and that changes when they get to other situations.
Yep.
I find it hard to believe that he's going to be pigheaded enough to come in next to Mayo and next to Brewski and with Bill Belichick talking to him, and he's just going to do whatever the hell he wants.
Right.
Although, there's worse things than he's always around the ball carrier.
Well, sticking with the inside linebacker
theme. I didn't
get
that argument at all.
Mark from Cheddar says, hey, guys, and Eric, what is the difference between Mayo and Laren? I can't spell his name. He is, in the words of Andy, a tackle machine, but isn't going to get six sacks. Well, Mayo had 100-plus tackles, no sacks, no interceptions.
Right.
Why was Mayo worth the 10th pick and James easier to spell, not worthy of the 23rd? By the way, I think Mayo was brilliant and well worth it.
About 25 hundredths of a second. Right, 25 hundredths, whatever. I mean, Mayo runs like a 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Laurinaitis runs a high 4.7. So right there is a major difference. And I think
potential.
Mayo is going to make plays.
Right.
I think a guy with his physical abilities. You know, we've all talked about it when he sees a screen pass or a dump off, how quickly he gets from the linebacker position to the backfield.
Right.
Eventually, those turn into tip balls, interceptions, forced fumbles, big plays. Laurinaitis is just sort of a read and react kind of guy. He doesn't attack. He's more of a Okay, I see what's developing. I'm going to make the
play.
He
just does the job that he's assigned
to do. One's solid, and I think one can be spectacular. Right. But you're right. And he admitted to that. When he talked to you, Eric, he said the thing that made his rookie year underwhelming to him
was that he didn't make
a lack of plays.
Yeah.
So he's well aware of it, but I think the potential is there
right.
for a lot of those plays.
Keep in mind, he even said, Mayo even said this the other day when we talked to him. All season last year, whenever the media would talk to him, they'd say, how are you getting used to this defense? And every time, it sounded like a broken record, though. He would say, you know, I'm still not at the point where I'm just out there reading and reacting. I'm
right.
thinking about what I have to do and my responsibilities. So
right.
when he gets to the point where he's comfortable enough to read and react, that's when I think you're going to start seeing more of the sacks, maybe some of more of the forced fumbles, dropping back into coverage, getting that interception when the quarterback doesn't think that he's going to be
right.
there.
It could be like, you know, for the middle linebacker, it could be like, you know, you finally have that trust to give the guy the ability to steal second base without a signal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, maybe he doesn't have that green light yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but at some point, they'll say, look, if you think you can get to the quarterback, now we're going to give you that green. But not yet. Not yet. On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Fred, how you doing today, guy?
I'm doing great.
Well, I'll get right into what you're all just commenting right now on. I couldn't agree with you more, though, about Mauiuga. It depends on what scheme he plays in. If he plays in, let's say, like a base 43, and you haven't played middle linebacker, he might get two sacks here because they don't send him. I mean, if you drop into coverage, if you just sit back there and try to play the run first, pass second, probably not going to get many opportunities. Now, if you bring him into an attacking scheme, like let's say like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and put him someplace back there, he may get five or seven because, hey, they're going to send him 50 times. He may get, you know, two or three, four sacks doing that. So as far as Mayo getting sacks, they'll come. I mean, he may, this way, he was a huge upgrade over whoever they had over there the previous year. So I think this guy, I couldn't agree with Eric more. I think once he gets used to that scheme, he's going to be scary. And on to another point I had as far as that goes, Torrey Holt signing with the Jaguars, thought that was a pretty good move, that they overpaid for him a little bit. Your thoughts on that?
I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I mean, they needed receivers, and I think he still has something left, but apparently most of the league didn't because he didn't get any bonus money. So apparently there wasn't much competition to get him.
Okay.
I was a little surprised that he went there, and maybe, you know, if he does have a little bit left, why wouldn't you want to go to a team that has more of a chance at...
Has to be the most money then that's all there is to it.
Well, but he didn't get, I mean, he got decent money, but he didn't get bonus money, so... Just looking from afar, they couldn't trade him. They cut him, and then he was on the market for a long time. I think most of the league has a scouting report that he's done or just about done.
I don't think anybody really wanted him to tell you the truth. I think it was more that than anything else.
Yeah,
and I think because of that, it's like, well, you can. That's probably his only offer.
Yeah.
So you can say why he went there. It's like, I don't think there was. I think that was the only one. It's kind of like, well, what you going to do?
Three years, though? You think he has three years?
No,
left?
I mean,
yeah, but you know, if it's not guaranteed, they can cut him any year. I mean, 3 years
now.
It's almost irrelevant. They can cut him in training camp, and with no guaranteed money, hey, see ya.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, nothing you can do. So.
But I'm just saying, if I'm a team, why am I going to sign a guy to a 3-year deal if I only think he's worth one?
Well, but just in case.
I'll put it this way. He may actually surprise you because I'm not so sure Bulger is any kind of great quarterback by any stretch. I think that he's hugely underperformed the last 2 or 3 years. Anyway, so maybe a change of scenery. Maybe he comes to Jacksonville. He's going to be the guy in Jacksonville at the
right.
absolute best. At worst, he's going to be the second receiver.
Yeah, they have problems with their receivers there.
Which, you know, if they draft a couple of receivers in the draft, which, again, I don't know. It's like if I'm Jacksonville, he's better than what they had over there, which was Air and a guy who's sitting in a 5x9 right now, the other guys.
Yeah.
So he's an upgrade over that guy.
Right.
But again, you don't know what they're going to do in the draft. I think to me it's a low-risk, high-reward thing. If they hit a home run on it, they got it for 3 years.
Right.
And if he stinks, like a lot of people think he is, and Andy could be right, then you get rid of him and just you kind of move on. But
right.
but $7 million a year, I thought that was, even if they do keep him, I thought that was really high money.
Yeah.
It is, but not if you're right. He either hits a home run and you keep him and it's not the money doesn't look so bad.
No, not at all.
Or you cut him because he's done.
Have you guys talked about Vince Wilfork, what he said about it? The Pats in the Globe the other day.
We haven't really touched on that. I'm glad you brought it up. It was something
that
I
encouraged
mentioned.
Me. I was like Fred. I was like, oh yeah, give me Vince Wilfork and just give us the trophy now. Forget about these creeps. give me Vince Wilson for 4 more years. I'll tell you right now. I was pumped up about that one.
Yeah, I would say the one person who wasn't might have been his agent. He made it sound very much like he's going to be a Patriot no matter what. We just got to finalize the details. And if I'm his agent, I'm like, no, I want you talking Albert Haynesworth. So.
You know, what I would say to that, though, is, I mean, ultimately, I always say it's the agent. The player has to say, so listen, I want to be a Patriot. I don't necessarily care if I want to play for Team B or Team C. I want to play in New England. I like Coach Belichick. I like the defense. I like, you know, I like my house. I like my neighbors, my kids' schools.
Yep.
You know, they're going to pay me regardless. It's like, look, get a good deal done for me. I have faith in you.
Right.
I mean, and I think Vince is kind of that guy, and I think that's why that he's going to probably be a Patriot. I would say probably, meaning 60-40 he will, as opposed to Ty Law. Well, Ty Law makes no bones about it. He will go to whoever pays him the most money.
That's right.
And that's all there is to it. It's like he'll tell you, I'll play for the Patriots, but then he won't tell you that if they offer me the most money. So, I don't know. Like I said, I was that encouraged me. I was wondering, I haven't listened to the podcast because I've been at home free and just running around like a wild man. But I went to the fire department with my kid today and my wife. We did like a field trip that is in kindergarten. So,
oh, nice. Did you slide down the pole?
No, I did not. It's like it's 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. So what's your temperature at right now?
It's not like too bad here. Like 60?
It's supposed to be 85 this weekend.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We have to work.
Well, guys, I look forward to the podcast. I'm heading back to Texas on Sunday morning, so I'll be listening to y'all. You guys take care.
All right,
Jim from Texas. That's great.
All right.
Let's see. Frank from Stuttgart, Germany.
Stuttgart.
Writes, hey, guys, including Eric. He needs some cheering up. Draft question. One guy I haven't heard you talk about is Sebastian Vollmer, offensive tackle out of Houston. He even sent us a video of him. He's one of the rare German guys playing good football. What do you think? Maybe a fourth or fifth round possibility for the Pats, or do you say no thanks because of his limited experience? He didn't play football until he was 14 and only in Europe before coming to college in the U.S. He's 6'7", 314.
Yeah, that's what we have him listed as.
I don't have any video on him. Let's go to the pro. I don't know anything about
him. Well, he did send us a video, which we can look at later.
I'll go to the guide.
He's out of Houston.
Yep.
Yeah. We have him listed, T-U-V.
So.
Sebastian Vollmer, nicknamed Seabass.
Like Janikowski.
Karst, Germany. Played football as a club sport. Also was a swimmer and a soccer player, Fred. You like those swimmers, don't you?
Not particularly.
Oh.
Too lean and long.
They labeled him a priority free agent. Size prospect who showed enough strength at the East-West Shrine game and enough improvement as the season wore on to pique the interest of scouts. Right tackle only. Could warrant late draftable interest as a developmental prospect, but will require developmental time and might need to stick on a practice squad for a few years to be ready. So, developmental guy.
Okay.
Doesn't say he stinks. Says he lacks functional strength and does not sink his hips easily.
Wow.
But at 6'8", 6'7", and change, it's hard to sink those hips.
Ben in Vermont says, hey, guys, including Eric. Now that I know he
has groundswell of support.
Now that I know he has seen a nipple at least once in his life, I will include him as one of the guys. Can you talk a little bit about Jasper Brinkley? His film looks amazing.
Yep.
He looks to have a great motor, tackles well, and really gets after the passer. I know that he was injured, but was the film on your website before or after his injury? If this is a post-injury film, then I say draft him. What are his downsides, and would he be good in the Pat system? Where do you think he will be drafted?
I think he will be drafted. I mean, a lot of reports have him rising up the charts. Yes, to second, third round type pick. We love him. We think he could be a very good Patriot next to Mayo. I don't think he's as athletic as, say, a Maualuga would be next to Mayo.
And he's got a lot of weight on him.
Right. He's a bit bigger. He's a 260 type
guy.
He's
not the same type of player.
But he's a good athlete, and I think he would be a very good fit for any team looking for an inside linebacker, specifically a 3-4, two-gapping type team, you know, more so than a runaround Tampa 2 team. But the question with him was totally injury because he came back from the ACL, had sort of a lackluster year last fall, and I think teams wanted to really see if he was getting his athleticism back, getting his lateral quickness back, and apparently they have because it seems like his stock has risen of late.
Yeah, deservedly so, I think.
He's going to be
a good player.
And he was definitely a very good player before he got injured, and if he can get back to that, then I think he's worthy of a late first-day pick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Taz from Toronto writes in, Todd McShay just posted his 7-round mock draft.
Love it.
What did you guys think about it? I'll post it at the bottom, and he does. I was wondering what you guys thought of this mock by me. Now, this is Taz's mock. He's all got right. The Patriots taking English or Matthews at 23.
I feel very differently about two.
Yeah.
One I'd be happy about, one I hate.
34, he's got us taking Laurinaitis.
I'll take
good
that.
With that.
47, Sean Smith or DJ Moore.
I'll take that.
I like DJ Moore a lot more than Sean Smith. But.
And 58, the best safety, Chung or Moore or Rashad Johnson?
Rashad Johnson.
Okay.
The pipeline thing, but I like William Moore, too.
Now, on McShay's, mock for the Patriots' first round, he's got us taking Clay Matthews.
I don't like that. Don't like that at all.
I hate Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
I have no interest in Clay Matthews because you don't draft special teamers with the 23rd pick in the draft. Mm. Don't like him.
And Taz says, you guys are the only reason I wake up this early. I'll have to buy you lunch someday so that I have my breakfast while you eat lunch.
Where's he from?
Toronto. That's only an
hour.
That's
not much of a difference.
He parties hard at night.
Yeah, you know, those Toronto bits. That's a great city, Toronto.
The hockey fan.
Mike from Hawaii writes in.
Just bouncing all around the globe today. Ukraine, Toronto,
we are
Hawaii.
It really is. This show is a phenomenon.
Our first Skype call?
Yeah.
That we know of. Somebody else might have done it.
We got some good things going on with this show.
Skype is big.
Yeah. Mike from Hawaii. Love the show. Listen as often as I can out here in Hawaii. About the draft, I think Arakpo from Texas is an absolute stud and would be able to fit in with the position, the Patriots D, right away. Belichick said in his press conference that they can move up as far as 10th, so I wanted to know what you guys think about moving up and getting him.
No.
Not going to happen.
I like him. You know my fears that he's Golston, and I'd be scared that he wouldn't do anything, and I would certainly be scared if I traded way up to get him. I don't think he's can't miss enough to put that much value in. But I love him. He's a freak.
Yeah.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about Clay Matthews and what he was coming out of high school. Strippers, of course, who always gets the research done. Says Idaho was the only Division I school that offered Matthews anything. Quote, Matthews, 166-pound backup linebacker tight end as a junior at Agoura High School, that's in California, whose only Division I scholarship offer came from Idaho.
Yeah, I knew he had pretty much nothing.
166?
166.
That's like what you weigh.
That's what I weighed at BU.
It's soaking wet.
165 was my max weight there.
That's
wow.
I haven't weighed 165 since the third grade.
I haven't really either.
Let's see. We've got a lot of emails. Wow.
I look better than Fred.
A lot of emails coming in here. Unbelievable. What's this? Fred says this emailer. I already read Mark from Cheddar's email, so I can't read you again. It's too many people, Mark. I know.
So read somebody else.
I'm just talking to him.
Saw a couple of good movies this weekend.
What'd you see?
While he's reading. Saw The Wrestler.
Okay, I want to see that.
That was really good. Very depressing, though.
Well, it's about the wrestling industry.
It's very, very depressing.
I don't know if you noticed, but the wrestling industry in general is pretty depressing.
And Frost Nixon. Excellent. Liked both of them.
Intrigued by that?
Two thumbs up for both of those. Okay. But you haven't seen either one of them.
I have not. I don't know if you know I have two children under the age of two.
I do know that, yes.
That cuts I'm aware into your
of that. I saw two movies over the week. I watched Superbad.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That's the first time you've ever seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
It's pretty raunchy.
I thought you didn't like Superbad.
No, I really liked it.
What's the one I thought you, there was the one that was Step overrated?
Brothers is overrated.
Oh, I thought Step Brothers was hilarious.
And that's why I think it's overrated.
I thought
Step
it was
Brothers
hilarious.
Too.
Yeah.
Superbad is better than Step Brothers.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I know so.
and I saw Nobody Messes with the Zohan.
Was that any good?
It was okay. It was cute.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, but it
typical
was okay.
Adam Sandler.
There was some good laughs. There was some good laughs. It wasn't great.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
But Superbad is very, very raunchy. I mean, from minute one through the whole thing.
Raunchier than Step Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
More consistently.
Yeah, more consistently. But it's more dialogue, whereas Step Brothers had...
Like slapstick kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, putting your nuts on
gags.
The guy's drum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visual gags.
Let's see. This is from a Pats fan stuck in Indy. I've been out of touch here in the Midwest. Is there any scenario that you see where Julius Peppers comes to the Pats?
Yes.
Eric, yes.
Saturday. It's going to happen.
Andy, no.
Sticking with my prediction.
Hey,
last minute flurry of activity, just like the Moss thing 2 years ago. Everyone thought that was dead, and it happened.
I don't understand how they're going to get it done. I mean, are the Panthers going to be willing to sign him to a deal and then trade him? Because that's one way, is they agree to a contract and then trade that contract and do that crap. Because I think Patriots cannot handle the $16 million.
I think he will sign his tender and will have already worked out a deal with New England, and New England will just be incumbent upon New England to get the trade done, the compensation with Carolina.
No, I know, but unless he signs a deal.
The tender. He has to sign his tender.
Then the Patriots have to have $16.68 million of cap room, and they have four.
But
where are they going to get 12?
Players will be involved in the trade.
I don't think so. $12 million is a lot of cap money. That's a lot of... Was that supposed to be how hard the guard throws? The guy caught
it
with their hand.
There's a thing on Fox here about a girl in Little League who threw a perfect game. She's the first Little Leaguer.
12-year-old girl, better pitcher than Paul Perillo. It is what it is.
The guy was also catching without a glove.
Doctor reminds me that, or informs me that this weekend during the show, we won't be taking phone calls.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Now, why is that?
We don't have that capability.
Because you're up in the press box, and we don't have a way to route the calls.
And
EEI does a show here, and they take phone calls.
We can't. We haven't ever.
What if you
if
just...
If you'd like to do the show down here, we can, but...
What if you just run back and forth with the cordless phone? You just pick it up, run upstairs, we'll hold it next to the microphone, run back down.
Well, what if we had a phone?
We can't.
I'd have to see if we have the equipment to do that.
Oh. I think fans are going to be disappointed if they can't
We
call
never
in.
Have, Fred.
I know, but we're getting a lot more calls now.
We are actually getting a lot more
yes,
calls
but
now.
What we've never had before was the MP3 email. So
yes,
people
so
can
people
record
can
there,
in MP3s.
And we can be like we have phone
calls. Right. I'm not going to get into this, but Dr. Russell sent me more incriminating evidence.
Oh, I want to see it. Let me see it. Let me see it.
No, give me that crap, Andy. Give it to me.
I don't know what to say. Brian in Southern California writes in, my hope for the Pats pick at number 23 is Ray Maliuca. What I like most about him is his physical, aggressive style of play. I think that many of the better defenses in the league have at least one player with such an attitude, which seems to spread around to the rest of the team when that player is in the lineup. Rodney has been our guy in the past, but he's obviously not our future. When he first came to the team, our defense played markedly better, so more so than could be explained by just the increased talent level he brought with him. I think the same thing could be said for the Colts when Bob Sanders is in the lineup versus when he's hurt. I think the notion that the attitude or style of play of a single player is infectious extends into other sports as well. Most notably, you see it when a pass-first point guard is added to a basketball team. Suddenly, the rest of the players start moving the ball around better as well. I remember this playing out when Jason Kidd joined the Nets. So, do you agree with the theory, and do you think the Pats' defense is in need of adding a more physical, aggressive element to their play?
More aggressive, yes, but part of that comes from the back end. I think they played a little vanilla last year because of fear of getting beat deep, yet they still
That was
beat
a legitimate
deep.
Concern, though.
Right. So,
especially in the beginning of the year.
I think if you have a little better coverage at corner, you're going to see them be a little bit more aggressive with the pass rush, and that will make the defense seem a little bit more aggressive. I do want to nitpick just a little bit on the defense was immediately better when Rodney Harrison came. Did they not lose the first game 31-0 at Buffalo in Rodney Harrison's debut as a Patriot?
That's correct.
So I'm not exactly sure what immediately means.
Well, and by physical, I'm thinking more get to the quarterback. I'm not concerned with big hit kind of thing. I mean,
and I'm not sure if, I mean, I think Mayo has some aspect of that. I mean,
physical play, you mean?
Physical, infectious type of player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you will see that evolve in year two and year three.
Especially if we think what happens with the green dot going to him,
right?
As we think it was going to, he's going to be a more, the defense is going to be looking to him to make certain calls. He's going to be more of a focal point.
Right.
The whole personality of the defense is going to be reflected of his personality.
He has to make plays, too.
Right.
You know,
saying,
he gets a couple forced fumbles,
sure.
And I think he can be an infectious defensive player.
Right. When he gets to the point where he's not thinking about just his responsibility, he's just out there reacting, making calls. A Ray Lewis type.
Right.
Where he's the focal point of the defense, he's making calls, he's getting them psyched. He has the potential to do that.
You do need a player like that in the secondary as well, in my opinion. I think safeties have, because of the nature of the position, you can hit people. You're set up for knockout shots, and you're running all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Merriweather maybe needs to take that growth step, or Sanders, or whatever, however it works out. But they could use an infectious player in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of a very fast-paced show.
Yes.
They all are.
And I think it's because the draft is imminent. It's coming up in 2 days. We're excited about it. I hope you're excited about it as well. Judging from the emails, everyone's excited. And judging from Eric with his photography experience, he's excited.
He really can't. He's
But we're going to be here at 6 o'clock on Saturday. So join us then. That's Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Saturday at noon on Sunday. Draft starts at 4. Be on Patriots.com for all the Patriots news. And we'll see you on Saturday.